perfect, nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. No matter what the odds are this time, nothing's gonna stand in my way. This flame in my heart, like a long lost friend, gives every dark street a light at the end. Standing tall on the wings of my dream, rise and fall on the wings of my dream. The rain and thunder, the wind and haze, I'm bound for better days.
And welcome to the next greatest 8-4 play podcast ever.
Maybe.
Yeah, whoa, applause. Yeah. Wow, all right. I like this.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I am your host, Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald. Mm-hmm. We have a very full crew here.
Yeah.
This week, these 2 weeks. And not a whole lot to talk about, so that's great. Actually, there's some cool news this week, but, as per usual, I think people are busy. Busy people.
Busy.
Including, you're not so much now anymore, but you're back. JJ, Mr. Mom, Epperson.
Yes. I'm now a part-time Mr. Mom.
Yes. Oh. So you served your tour of duty. We missed you on the last podcast.
Yes. You guys did a good job.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Yes. Where'd you hear that?
I heard it on Gaff.
You didn't listen?
So one guy did say that he, like, me not being on the podcast was, like, a big...
ruined his life.
Aww. Yeah.
So what were you... You want to talk about what you were doing?
So I had a second child...
Yay! What's his name?
His name is Toma, not Tomba.
What?
Mark.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Tomba.
Sarah, I got the podcast notes off wrong.
Yeah, so, I mean,
it's kind of funny because when we were deciding, so like we had the baby, we had a few names picked out, and then we had the baby, and what happened with Haruki? We like looked at him and we're like, is this really the name we want? And then we went through a whole bunch of other things.
What were the names that you had originally?
I think the top two were Toma, Shinji, and maybe like Reiji or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it came down to Shinji and Toma, and we were thinking of all the reasons why we didn't like them. And I was like, well, Toma could be like Tomba,
one of the greatest from PlayStation game ever.
and then there was like another game, Toma. Which is another PlayStation game, I think.
Legend
or Super
of
Nintendo.
Hero Toma?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
But, like, you know, obviously no one's going to reference a fucking pink haired caveman.
On this podcast.
I know, right?
How did you know? I thought you didn't listen to the podcast.
No, I saw people on Gaff talking about it.
Oh, okay.
It. Yeah. But yeah, his name is Toma. And then Makiko, my wife, she decided to give that his middle name should be my name because apparently we look a lot alike. We have the same ears or something like that.
Hmm.
So I was like, hey, I'm not a fan of the junior thing, but that sounds nice. So, and she picked it, so I'm not going to say no to her. So,
Toma written?
I know that's Toma what it means. Toma, the To and Toma is like the, I guess it's like a constellation, the North Star. It's the two dots. Like if you look at the Japanese for Hokuto no Ken.
It's not winter.
Not winter.
Oh, really? I thought it was winter.
We were thinking winter because Haruki has Haru.
Yeah,
and
spring and winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Makiko didn't really like the
way
theme
to fuck
idea.
Up the consistency.
I know.
Seriously?
What have we taught you?
I know. Like,
I was pushing it, but like it didn't work. Like with our last name, stroke wise, like the amount of strokes was weird, and my wife didn't like it. She just didn't like it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like North Star, and then the Ma part is taken from my wife's name.
You're a huge fan of the two Whoopi Camp PlayStation 1 games.
Yes.
Seminal 2D, 2.5D. Action platformers.
I'm gonna dye his hair pink as soon as I can.
Jump on a pig and run around your house. But you've been air quotes here busy. I guess with these two babies.
Yeah, you don't even know.
Well, coincidentally, what you've been playing game list is about four times as long as anyone else here.
Oh, right.
So.
Well, because I got a lot of games free. Because I haven't been sleeping a lot. Let's just put it this way.
How many hours have you been sleeping?
Well, we don't go to we go to bed at like 2-ish, mm-hmm. and then we wake up around 6:37. So not a lot.
Wow, that's crazy late for you.
Yeah, and for me, who goes to bed at 10 usually, mm-hmm. it's like.
So how has this affected your video game habits?
Well, so like we put Haruki to sleep early, and when Haruki goes to sleep, I play games. Usually, like on my PlayStation or
and Tomba is still bouncing around. Tomba.
No, he's just crying, drinking, sleeping, crying, okay. drinking, sleeping, kinda pooping. Like
me. But you don't get up in the night to.
No, I there's nothing I can do because he's like totally
you
being
rub
desperate.
Your wife's back.
Yeah, I could
be supportive.
Or but, you could level up in you know.
right. Yeah, I could do that too. But also, you know, like Haruki was on winter vacation, so I had to play with him. Like the thing about having a second child is that you can't neglect the first child. In fact, you have to pay extra attention to them.
Wait, really?
You have to pay extra attention to them or they will like get really pissed off.
But you have a new one.
I know. And he's like, yeah, he's so much smaller.
Stay tuned for more great parenting tips from JJ. The man who brought you, yes, stay up till midnight and have the child sleep with you midnight.
But because of that, I've been playing a lot of games with him. As well.
Okay, so yeah. We'll talk about some of those here in
making
a bit.
Me sweat.
But
all the grilling about my parental.
That's right.
Wait till you have kids.
Speaking of parental kids, I don't know, Roy. Yeah. Speaking of Roy, code talker Blakely. You had some Monster Hunter codes.
I'm the
for
only
us.
One here who got. Some codes.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, I guess I'm just the biggest Monster Hunter fan.
Well, that actually might be true.
Yeah.
That's probably is true.
Mm-hmm. None of us wrote a book.
So that's true. Who did you get your code from?
It was just because it was on
or codes, I guess I
just,
should say.
Just Nintendo sent them to people who had like...
Yeah,
what,
I think,
what
they, I think
the
it was random.
Called? I don't remember.
It couldn't have...
Nintendo Network.
Just random? Or was it that's just a weird system? So everybody is going to be able to... get it. The demo is going to be publicly available a week before the game comes out, right?
Yeah.
Which
I don't
is,
know if it's the same demo or not.
Right. Mm-hmm. I assume that it is, but... Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think the one they gave out has no limit, right? Is that correct? Whereas
there's
the new
no
one's going to have a 30-play limit.
Yeah, I think those the ones with the codes tend to not have limits, because the Pokemon demo I got in Japan doesn't have a limit, which is great.
So maybe we'll talk a little bit about that, but how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah? you look good.
Thanks.
Wait, how are your cats? Yeah. How do they like Japan?
Yeah.
They're
I need to know.
They're getting on my nerves.
They're
really getting annoying, man.
Ever since we told you the truth about how cats feel about humans, you've seen them in a whole new light.
I think it is the smaller space is making them more restless and that turns into let me annoy the tall things that walk around as much as possible.
What are they doing to annoy you?
Like anytime I do anything related to food for myself.
Yeah.
They're like, follow me around. They want whatever it is. My cats are weird. They'll eat anything.
Yeah,
any human food that falls on the ground.
I saw
eat,
like, your girlfriend tweeting about answering the door or something, and then they like had attacked her food.
She had some instant Oden, and I guess all that was left was like the egg and something else. And so one of the cats pulled the egg out of the Oden, brought it into another room, and like just was eating it and demolishing it.
Oh my God.
Time to drop them off at a temple and.
I'm considering it.
You live really close to the temple.
Is it cat friendly?
I think temples typically have a cat friendly policy.
Somebody who used to live very close to a temple, in fact, in that same apartment, that is Hiroko Polyhontas Minamoto.
Polyhontas?
Yes. So you may not know this. You may have already forgotten your American history, having grown up in California.
Sorry,
but Pocahontas was the... let's not worry about who Pocahontas was. No. Pocahontas was with Lewis and Clark, I think, and she
was
with
some
white
person.
I thought that was Sacagawea.
Oh, my God.
Who is it?
Here, wait. I'm still in college.
Quiet,
let me help you.
Quiet, you. Goddamn millennials know everything.
Pocahontas is a character from a Disney movie, and she had like a white boyfriend.
There you go.
And
that's not what.
And she translated. She spoke English, so she likes...
Okay.
Come on.
Anyway.
Yeah. Poly, and it rhymes with Colors of the Wind rather than Sacagawea, which doesn't really at all. But so just today, as we're recording this, the Polygon Japan article came out, which you helped set up and interpret for and do all that kind of stuff. So,
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, too. I was impressed. It's awesome. Like,
actually, I haven't read it
yet. You haven't seen it yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, wow.
But I think I saw the art piece on somebody's, like, Facebook post. So
they have a bunch of different ones.
The Miyamoto one is the one I saw.
Oh, yeah, okay. That one looks awesome.
Really? Yeah. That was like my least favorite.
Really? It's like they did it. They got a. They said they got a famous artist. They can't say who it was. But
oh, really?
They can't say. So if you know, you should say. But
okay.
But it's meant to look like an old Star Wars poster, basically. Right. You know, with the people in the background and everything. Mm. I like it.
The other pieces of artwork, though, I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. It's my least favorite of them. They've got a bunch of different ones.
They're all really cool, actually.
Yeah, Ida-san and who else? The Tokyo Jungle artist one had a really cool one.
Huh.
Anyway, definitely check that out. I think we have news.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it later.
It was,
but
yeah, definitely a lot of interesting stuff like during the interviews. So I bet it's all packaged in.
I haven't read through the whole thing yet, but I skimmed it. I like looked at every page briefly, like you would win a magazine because it's supposed to look like a magazine feature,
right,
basically.
Exactly.
And you know, they have a conversation with the people who worked on Ninja Gaiden for the NES, which is super cool.
They
even
have
like concept art in there from like this guy who sketched the backgrounds, which is amazing.
The original pieces of art from the guy, and they tell the stories behind making the game, and they're actually surprisingly frank. Like a lot of times, and you know this better than anybody, Hiroko, like the old creators won't or can't talk about a game that they made before.
Right, yeah.
And these guys now, some of them are freelance, some of them they later did work for like Namco Bandai and a bunch of other places. I didn't know one of the Ninja Gaiden guys worked on Steel Battalion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that part, but I know that the scenario writer was Kato-san, who did like Baten Kaitos and like Chrono Cross, and like he's like kind of he did the game that came out today, Legend of Legacy. Like, he's kind of like pretty famous script writer in Japan for not you know being crap.
Oh wait,
like,
you know I actually get him to my two stories mixed up. The Clock Tower guy is the guy who
was the Steel Battalion.
Yeah, but
there's lots of cool trivia like that in this feature, and there's lots of cool like information on like just because he interviews a lot of people from like back in the day and like. Kind of goes around all the angles. He talks to mobile people. He talks to, like, you know.
And I think they're adding more to it. It's not, like, it came out with already a ton of stories, but I think there's a few more to go up.
I think that was the plan. That was the plan.
Check it out. It's on Polygon.
Yeah, there's some good stuff. Like, in the Ninja Gaiden article, they talk about how the director of the game told the programmer, like, I want people to, when they die, to, like, you know, start back in the middle of the stage.
Yeah.
But the programmer was like, fuck you. And
no, he said, okay, yeah, I'll do
it. Yeah, that's right. He said, I'll do it. And then he went back and he didn't do it. He went and made it so you start at the beginning of the stage.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they finally admitted, like, the birds were only supposed to take off one thing of health instead of three or something. I'm not a ninja.
Well, he said he would, if there was one thing he would change, it would be that.
Maybe that was it.
And then, like, there was Okamoto. They had a question for him and Sakaguchi-san from Miss Walker, like, if you had like $100 million to make a game, what would you do? And Okamoto's like, I'd make a mobile game and pocket the rest.
That is true.
It's great.
Speaking of mobile games, John, low resolution Ricciardi.
Hi.
That has to do with your New Year's resolution. Do you not remember? Do you already forget your New Year's resolution?
I only had one, so no, I didn't forget it, but it's low resolution.
Doesn't it have to do with mobile games?
Oh, yeah.
Low resolution is just, did you have a New Year's resolution?
You're also
going to be on Monster Strike, Ricciardi.
That was a clever one.
So what was your
New Year's? I'm not going to spend any money on Monster Strike this year. Well, as long as I can.
What?
I guess that's
a
resolution.
That part. Yeah.
Well, no, to be fair, I'm not, I guess, I hate to say never, ever, like, on anything,
well,
but
you have to. When
If they give me some reason that I don't know of now, but if things as they are now, I'm not spending any money, and I haven't spent any money yet this year.
Let's go good.
Yeah,
so you've
the past 22 days.
Yeah, that's the game's only been out for
it's
like
been 22
you know,
days since I've had my
actually the game's only
days,
been out for
12 hours.
We
14
should have a
minutes,
countdown in the office.
The game's only been out for 92 days, so if you average out what I spent in the first 70 something days, 22 days is quite an achievement. I spent a lot. Let's just say a lot. More than I said on the last podcast when I thought it was like around $400.
I mean, I actually know how much you spent.
Yeah, but that's okay.
We will not admit publicly the first step towards recovery.
You're like, are you like a sperm whale or more like an orca?
I'm not like a super whale or anything, that's for sure. But I definitely was like probably like an average baby size whale or whatever.
Baby whale.
Yeah.
Have you gotten
like the Twitter whale?
Have you had the itch at all? Have you been like, oh man?
No, and that's not. Really? But actually, to be fair, it's sort of a lull right now in like really awesome stuff coming out. But there, you know, it will pick up again. So we'll see. But right now, it hasn't been hard. One thing Okamoto has said in interviews a lot about that game is like you actually can do really well at the game and get the best monsters without ever spending money. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of true. And right around Christmas time, I was telling you how I did that like big raid with like the end game thing. And I got one, and like it's true. Like at this point, I kind of don't need any more to spend any more money if I don't, you know.
Well, but until they introduce the next group of stuff or things or characters or
right. But at the moment, I'm good. I can see myself sticking to this. Yeah, I think I will.
Maybe
I think
we
I'll
should have
good.
A bet. Like how long? Ooh,
the thing is, it depends on John actually telling us when he breaks it.
Oh, I will. I if I can't do it, I can't do it. I'll tell you. But so right, far,
well,
so good.
Message John your messages of support.
Here's a funny aside though. Is like I think I might have said this on the podcast before, but like I had justifications in my head for why when I would spend money on that game, right? Like, oh well, I'm not going out drinking as often as I used to with my friends, where you could routinely drop like $100 or something just going out with people, mm-hmm. right?
For sure.
Like, so I'm just doing that instead. It's like kind of balancing out.
Right.
Probably wasn't, but that was my excuse. But now that I've stopped, like every time I see a new amiibo and I pre-order it, I'm like, well, I'm not spending the money on Monster Strike. So,
oh, no.
And I have like 12 amiibos and like 4 or 5 more pre-ordered already.
Yeah, and just are we receiving another amiibo today? Or
no. We're waiting for a package. The new Tales game is coming. Tales of Zestiria came out today. Mm-hmm. So
it's the zestiest Tales good. Game ever.
They all look like they're part of a rock band. They all have like feathers in their hair.
Yeah.
The thing I don't just shake our heads. The thing that I don't get about amiibos kind of is like anything about it. Like
the thing I don't get about amiibos
is everything, like, basically.
Once you have one, like as an adult, like once you have one
adult, what's an adult?
Well, no, but as if they were exclusive or there were rare ones, I would actually understand it more.
What are you talking about? Maybe your definition of what that means is different, but they're super rare ones. Like some of them are like $50, $60 now because they didn't make enough and people want them.
But they're going to make, they're remaking them, the cards.
Not all of them. They're not remaking some of them apparently, yeah. And
how many are
especially bad in the US. Like here in Japan, I just go on Amazon when they announce them, I pre-order them, they show up the morning of release. Like in America, some of them are like exclusive to Target, some are exclusive to GameSpot. You have like these like idiots who are like buying them all up so that other people can't get them.
Selling them on eBay
and all that.
Right.
So yeah, you know, I always enjoy tweeting pictures of them because I get a lot of response. People are really into amiibos. Like mm-hmm. there's like a clear like. All the other things I tweet about, amiibos are like by far and away the things people are like most excited about.
What
right
are
now.
They? I don't understand. What are they? What is their reaction to you? So you tweet a picture of an amiibo.
Remember, we were just talking this morning about how I was saying how like there was a story about the lady who's like the biggest YouTube person this last year was this chick who just opens toys on YouTube.
Yeah,
you don't
but
even
those
see her
are
face.
Like mindless idiots on YouTube. These are
40
no,
million.
No.
Mindless
should
idiots.
Be. They're small kids. Small kids. Fucking like Haruki watches those toy videos all the time.
Okay, so I'm not saying all toy opening videos, but the one that John mentioned specifically, you don't even see the person's face.
Oh no, right. They're terrible. I don't like him watching those because it is literally
that's like the hardcore
slowly
film version.
Slowly opening up these things. Oh yeah, and the sound makes me.
But I think the point is, people. I definitely like am interested in like I like seeing. Packages, and then I like, you know, I see why I understand why people like them.
You are
I think,
the best consumer.
I am.
He is a super
consumer. I love packages.
Like packages for the amiibos are awesome. They're beautiful, and then you open them, and the amiibos themselves look awesome.
Right? Oh my god!
Now they don't smell good, but if they did, I would old NES games.
But wait, what are people saying? Like, oh my god, that box is so awesome.
Well, no, it's
what,
like,
how are people responding?
People want like some
people
of the stuff
like,
comes out in America
because I can't get it.
Yeah,
it's hard to get.
Right.
Oh, of certain characters,
and some of them come out in Japan first. So like. like the ones that came out today, I don't think are out in America yet.
Yeah, most of them are coming out in the next couple of weeks. So there's that a little bit too.
So because of that.
Okay, yeah. Well, I understand that and then at least a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I thought these things were all hitting everywhere at the same time.
No. We'll talk a little more, I guess, during the news, I guess, when we go over Nintendo Direct. But there was also some characters, like for a game that's coming out soon, where if you have like Fire Emblem Amiibos, you can get those characters in Codename Steam. So, of course, right. I immediately now am buying all the Fire Emblem Amiibos regardless.
Well, you were buying...
I probably would have anyway, but now that's like... Anyway. Those are the kind of reasons, too, to like get Amiibos. Yeah.
Any Amiibos you do not own?
Oh, yeah. I was counting today. There's probably like 20-something of them out. I only have like 10.
So why... What makes you choose one as just characters
the
that you
I
like?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who do you not have? But you have Wii Fit Trainer.
Yeah, yeah. I think
because she's rare.
It's cool. She was rare too. That was the day that I bought the three rare. I bought rare ones. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So ones you like and ones that are rare.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I won't, even if like a Pokemon one becomes rare, I won't buy it because I don't really want like Pokemon ones. You know what I mean? Right. Like if it's like I gotta actually at least care about, like I like Animal Crossing. That's why I bought the Animal Crossing one.
You care about Wii Fit Trainer?
But it's a rare one.
It's a rare one. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'd rather have a Pokemon, rare Pokemon.
I guess, yeah.
Rare works for Pokemon. Pokemon is supposed to be rare.
I guess so.
Right?
You got a rare Wii Fit Trainer.
Yeah.
I pre-ordered Sonic and Mega Man today.
I want
Mega I have Man. Shulk pre-ordered, which is going to be rare for sure, because he's GameStop totally. Only in America. Mm. And you know how like GameStop likes to like so do like Xenoblade. Screw people with Xenoblade. Yeah. Mm. So.
Interesting. All right. Well, moving along, finally rounding out the cast, Sarah 2020 Podzorski.
Yep. Is it because I'm 20?
It is. All right, so the news. No, you had your 20th
coming of age.
Yeah, the Seijin Chiki
celebration. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So did you wear a kimono?
Yes. I woke up at ungodly hours and went all the way to school. I actually like jumped a fence.
In a kimono?
No.
That was amazing. So,
how did you do that?
The Beastie Boys video.
But then I got to the place. I was whisked away by all these like elderly Japanese ladies who volunteer to do this, and they donate their old kimonos to do this.
Oh, wow.
So all the kimonos are donated.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to bring your kimono.
No, I just showed up. I literally did. And they had like purses and shoes and the socks, and they just... like did my hair and they dress you and then they like
do you get to pick your kimono or do they pick it
they
for you?
They did let me pick.
They did? Wow.
Yes.
That's
but
good.
But everything else they just do like your hair, they just like what color
did it
tell
smell
them.
Like old Japanese ladies?
The kimono did smell kind of musty.
Okay.
I will admit that.
Mothballs.
But
I don't know what that smells like by the way. I just
old Japanese lady.
What was one?
And the thing is that it lingered on my body afterwards. Like after I took the kimono off,
so
like
it smelled like old Japanese
everything like my leggings and stuff that I was wearing smelled very like musty,
wisdom,
you know.
Well, it's probably been in storage somewhere,
like old
at least since last year.
That's probably what the smell was.
It wasn't like
I want to see pictures.
Oh yeah, I'll show you. But the ceremony
on the
itself,
Twitter account.
Yeah, the ceremony itself was like this is like I was so ready to sit through a really boring speech.
Was it outdoors too?
It was in the Kunitachi Government Building.
Oh, okay.
Whatever, like the Civic Hall, whatever that is. But all the other girls, like this is like coming of age, so we're like adults now. But it's like all the girls were wearing like
I don't know.
But this is
20.
Like the point where is that we're coming into like our adulthood.
True. Yeah.
Kinda?
Technically, that is
by law
supposed to be
by law. She is an adult.
I am an adult. Technically.
All right. Yes, you're a 20-year-old young adult.
But it's like young adult. Like through the entire ceremony, like everyone was just talking. I was like taking selfies and tweeting because everyone else was talking.
Right.
It was just some old guy. I'm guessing talking about like the
The mayor or something talking about what it means to be an adult.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
adult and woman. An old guy was probably up there.
Right. And then, he was like talking about like the history of like Kunitachi, and I was like, okay, I wasn't here for any of that.
Mm-hmm. Dude is probably giving the same speech for 15 years.
Yeah. But then this guy gave a speech, and he's like giving this really sad speech about how his mother died, and I'm just sitting there like, what?
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, he put 20? On like aviators, and then started like rapping.
Oh God!
What?
Wait, the guy whose mother died?
Yeah, but he was like a student, so I think he was doing it as a joke.
Okay.
But everyone else was still talking, and we're just like, what
inappropriate.
Is this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question, totally unrelated to the rapping guy with the dead mother. But the, I noticed the women all wear the kind of like fur stole, right?
Yes.
Like that's a big thing. Is that always been a big thing, or is that something that's just kind of come into fashion in the last, like, 10-20 years?
I think it's always been a thing. Mm.
It does keep you warm. Like, there is an actual purpose.
Yeah. No, totally.
Yeah. Well, then, and kimono has, like, seven layers or some crazy thing.
Was this your first kimono experience?
No, this was my second. Okay. But, so I am aware that it is actually quite, like, I want to say painful in a way, because it's ropes on ropes on ropes, exactly. Like, tying in your, because you're supposed to be flat like a board.
Yeah.
So they will actually put a towel on your stomach to make you even more tube-like.
Exactly.
And then it's more ropes, and then they tie the obi, and you literally cannot slouch in this thing.
Plus you're wearing, like, horseshoes.
So yeah, and you cannot walk, and the shoes do not fit on your feet.
Right.
The edge of your feet will actually hang off of the edges of the shoes, which is quite painful. Size,
yeah.
Oh wow.
And you can't really walk well and or sit.
Yeah,
or
you're supposed to, like, walk in small steps. So, like, they're made to be. You're
not supposed to move when you wear a kimono, is what I think.
Or talk. Or
just breathing is also sit there and look pretty off the table.
Jeez. What were the what do you call those the women that we saw on the train the other day?
Maiko-san.
Oh, yeah,
Maiko.
We saw, like, actual in the train back Geisha from training. Kyoto.
Yeah,
that is some hardcore stuff. That makes what Sarah did seem like, you know, pajamas. Like, they basically have, like, the hardcore get up with the face paint. Yeah,
I don't like that.
The thing about the Seijin Shiki, the coming of age day in Japan, is that it's kind of like a, it's kind of notorious for being a day where, like, all the bad kids come out and, like, get super drunk and start breaking things.
Wait,
and
really?
Just, like, yeah. It's all, I mean, every year.
Well,
on the news.
Who are the same people that are 20 after the ceremony?
Yeah, every now and then there were news stories that, like, kids act up on that day.
They'll dress up as the, like, you know, like, a character Batman. From one of those high school gang manga or something. They'll have their hair, like, sticking out and, like, in a reason.
Okay, JJ's exaggerating a little.
No. I will
hop a fence. Laws were broken that day.
I will post a picture on the blog post, but some of the stuff is really crazy. Like, there's this one girl I was showing Sarah that had, like, she was basically, like, Hello Kitty. Like, she had this giant pink hair and, like, it's nuts.
Didn't they have one at Disney?
It's like the when the they
always
have
one at Disney.
They always see that's strange.
Coming of age at Disney.
Yeah.
What do you do after the ceremony?
I think, well, after the ceremony, it was like cake party.
Yeah.
And they had all this cake for us to eat and, like, tea and stuff. But then I don't know what everyone else did, but we just went back to kind of, like, the place that we had just come from, and the cute, like, grandmas had made us, like, this huge table was just full of food.
Oh,
but
nice.
I couldn't eat. Because literally, whenever I ate, it would, like, sit in my stomach, and it, like, wasn't moving. So you just get sicker and sicker, and I'm like, can I take it off? And they're like, no.
You're
so beautiful. And I'm like, I know it stopped, like, right on top of my obi. And I'm like, please, I want to eat this sushi. Like, you're torturing me.
Yikes.
Right.
Wow.
Okay.
So, like, when you see a woman on the street in a kimono, respect.
Right.
Respect her.
Have you ever worn, I'm wondering, I'm curious if it's how it compares to, like, old school Western clothing, like a corset and the full crazy, same kind of thing.
I feel it's different, though, because in a corset, it hugs in your, like, it makes your waist smaller.
Right.
Your waist smaller and your boobs spill over the top.
Right.
In a kimono, it's like, stick it all in there,
the
tuck it away.
Thing, yeah.
Crush it inside.
I don't know. So I don't know how they would compare.
All right. Well, this podcast has gone way in a weird direction, but
we're in 30 minutes.
Why don't we pull it back to video games?
Oh, hi.
And maybe even Japanese video games. We covered Japan. Now it's time for games and Japanese games. That is what this podcast is about. So, JJ, we talked earlier. You're the guy who had all the free time since you weren't here at work.
I was working and taking care. Like, there were times where I was typing at you with one hand because I had a crying baby in my
hand. Oh, I'm sure you were really busy.
I was talking to you once, and somebody was typing on the keyboard as you were typing on it, right?
Haruki was.
So you played Drive Club.
Drive Club.
Why?
Because.
It works now, right?
It works now. I found it used at Big Camera. I was looking for some cleaning utilities.
I bet they have a few copies there.
Yeah.
Used. Yeah.
Surprisingly not hard to find.
Yeah.
Used. So it was only 2,500 yen, and so I was like, okay, I've been wanting to play this game, so I bought it, you know, brought it home, and it's pretty good. I grew up on Sega Racers, Sega Arcade Racers, Daytona, Sega Rally.
Right.
All those games. Initial D, I fucking love the Initial D arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
And this game does not play like those games, and I feel like a fish out of water and like I'm
more
constantly
simmy, like it's Gran Turismo.
It's more, yeah. I mean, I think people who are into Gran Turismo will look at this and be like, it's so arcadey. But I look at it and it's like, wow, this is really simmy. Because like I'm crashing into walls all the time, and like I looked at some videos on YouTube to see what I'm doing wrong, and they're like, yeah, you got to do this manual transition, like going into the curve, you got to be at like, you know, 3, and then doing the 2, blah blah blah. I'm just like, I don't. Yeah, I'm like, I don't really. I mean, the graphics are beautiful. I love the weather. The weather effects are amazing.
I heard that too. Yeah.
A few things though, like I wish that it had a custom soundtrack option.
Okay.
Because the music is like, it may as well not exist.
Okay.
And I'm not like one of those guys that like gets a hard on for engine sounds and stuff like that.
Right.
I just want to get my Initial D movie soundtrack.
Put it in my you can't PS4. Play your own music at all.
No, you can't.
Oh, that's weird.
You can like, well, you can play it like on the PS4 level and have it playing in the background, but I want it to like start. Like, I want fucking Night of Fire to start when the race. When the race starts, yeah. And so, yeah, I've been playing it off and on. Like, I'm enjoying it. I'm slowly getting better. But, like, Haruki's not really into it, so I don't play it that much anymore.
So what are you playing that that Haruki, that your son, is into?
Mario Galaxy 2.
Ah, okay. Huh. So did you buy this, like, right when it came out?
Right when they announced it after the Nintendo Direct, I bought it. It was late at night. He was asleep. So I was like, I'll surprise
him. How long is it cheap for? Not much longer,
a week.
Right? Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's probably, like, tomorrow then.
Yeah, probably.
I need to grab that.
It's actually, it's kind of interesting going, not having played the shit out of Super Mario 3D Land and 3D World, and then going back to the Galaxy series, and going back to like Wii controls and stuff like that.
Yes.
Wii controls are bad. Like, I'm going, like, it's overly,
but you're playing the main,
right.
You're playing Mario. You're not playing the sidekick. You're not being the support.
Well, I'm sometimes being the sidekick. Haruki's playing Mario a lot of the time.
Okay.
But it's like, it's overly complicated compared to just having the controller in your hands. Like, you're like pointing at things.
You can't play with just
the controller? No, you can't. And there are reasons for that. Because you have to actually, like with Yoshi, for instance, you have to point at the screen to lick, you know, things up or eat things.
Oh, okay, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about that too. And like, it's really difficult for Haruki to do that. He's like a Mario 3D World pro, but at this game, he's just like, eh. I mean, he's getting better. Like the other day, I came home and he's like, I fucking beat the. Well, he didn't say fucking, but wow. I beat the boss.
Like, motherfucker, I beat that fucking shit.
Yeah, he's been playing a lot of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
No, he's like, I beat the boss, and I'm like, that's great, because like before, during, while I was at home all the time, he couldn't do much of anything, but like he's slowly getting used to it. But it's I thought it was interesting that like someone who was like good at Mario games for his age anyways,
right,
like just was completely ineffective with the Wii controls.
So tell me about like playing Wii games on Wii U. Like, you go to the Wii U eShop, I guess, and download it?
Yeah. So then all it is, it's like basically you're downloading a ROM version, like a ROM, and then when you launch the ROM, it goes into Wii mode and plays it like a normal game.
So like you're not
like if you had the disc in
it. So it's not like these games have any kind of Miiverse support or anything.
Nothing
like that.
When you start the game, you are in the Wii mode. There's no Wii U functionality at all. When you press the home button, the Wii menu comes up. When you turn the game off or restart.
That's such a bummer. I wish it would make a way to just hide that. Like, that's so annoying.
Well,
and it's confusing too. And then when you want to get out of there, it's like the buttons are like Wii U menu, or, you know, return or whatever, and you end up, like, you want to go to the Wii U menu, but like, it looks like you're just going back to the main Wii menu. Like, it's really confusing.
Well, no, you go back to the Wii U menu, but, like, it turns the machine off and then reboots. That's basically all it does. It's interesting. It's like, and it actually, it'll load, if you have saves from your Wii or whatever.
Yeah,
you can use from them. The CD version, it'll find those and load those immediately, which is, it was pretty cool.
Did you have those?
I didn't, because I never migrated my
Wii. I got all excited about that feature. I've been wanting them to do this for ages. It's going to be better, because you can play the Wii games on the gamepad, like you know, you could do that before as well, but like, I think you can actually use the gamepad now if the game supports it, right?
If the game supports the Classic Controller Pro, you can use that. You can use the gamepad.
So that's awesome, because you couldn't
but
do that
But Mario Galaxy 2 does
right,
not.
Right, right. Oh, wow. But the first thought in my head, and probably a lot of people, was like, awesome, I can finally go back and finish Xenoblade, like, when they make it available.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, but it's coming out for 3DS in April, so they're not going to make it available,
yeah,
like, purposely.
But in America, Metroid Prime Trilogy is coming out
next week.
And
I wish it was coming out in Japan, because that's something I'd really want to play, and I think Haruki would really get a kick out
I'm
of
sure
it.
I'm sure it'll come out in Japan eventually.
But it's not slated to release here. But we are getting, like, Zangeki no Regen Live, which I think we may have talked about on this podcast before, but it's, like, the game by the Earth Defense Force people with right. the Wii Controller Pro, and you, like, slash up monsters. It's really cool.
Also, Last Story or Pandora's Tower is coming out as well.
Oh, nice. So, like, in general, the whole experience is nice. I don't have to have the CDs anymore, but it's basically a replacement for the CD you already had.
Right. That's exciting. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I hope we get to play. I get to finish some of those. There's a few Wii games that I never got around to finishing that I actually would like to do, you know, playing that way on the gamepad.
So yeah, it's fun getting to play these old games with Haruki.
Can you now play the old games on the gamepad, like, even if you have the disc version, or is that still not possible?
No, that is not possible.
That's lame.
Oh, really? Let's see. Rounding out your list, you've been getting your money's worth of your PSN.
Yes.
Your PlayStation Plus subscription.
Yes.
I've downloaded these games. Actually, I played Infamous First Light very briefly.
Oh, okay.
I actually, like, the very first thing you need to do in the game is escape the police.
Yeah.
And I got annoyed.
I don't know how I did it, but I did it.
You don't know how you did it?
I do
I'm
not
like,
know.
I'm like, no one sees me. No one knows where I am. Oh, except for the helicopter that somehow magically... Yeah. Knows my position. Game looks beautiful, even from the start. I mean, so did Infamous. You know, in the
it's
control...
funny because Milky said the same thing on Twitter. He's like, I couldn't escape from the cops, so I'm not playing the game anymore.
That's the thing. I give it like you get like 20-minute window a lot of times with me, especially when the game is free. And you know, I still have it, so I can go back to it. But
I just hid behind things. I've played a lot. I mean. I've played a lot of it, but I haven't gotten that far in the story. I'm about 3 hours in. I think it's about a 6-hour game, so maybe I'm about halfway.
Did you play the first Infamous? Okay.
I played the first Infamous for like 15 minutes.
The first Infamous, not the PlayStation 4 Infamous.
On PlayStation 3.
Oh, okay. So the actual
first
then, Infamous.
I downloaded Infamous 2, and I never played it.
But you never played Second Son?
No.
Okay, all right. So what are you thinking? How are you finding... this game?
It is a game and a genre I'm not particularly interested in, and it doesn't do anything to kind of like turn
Make
me around
interested.
Yeah.
You are playing it.
I am playing it because Haruki really likes it, and he actually asked me to play it from time to time, and he plays it too.
What's he call it?
He's like, Byung! Byung!
I was going to say, I'm sure he does not call it Infamous First Light or whatever.
He describes what he does when he plays the game, which is, like, to run around and, like, you know, blow up cars. We've been having a lot of fun going around the city, and there are, like, these red orbs that you can use to upgrade your character, and like we've been going around and just like looking for those and finding those and stuff like that. So like the game itself, it's like I don't care about the story, the missions or whatever. It's like shoot these bad guys, who cares? I really don't care. I just like controlling the character.
It's just a playground for you.
Yeah, it's just like a playground.
What about the Swapper, which I've been meaning to get around to playing.
Swapper I slept on. I wasn't really interested in that game, and I didn't even download it at first, even though it was free on PS Plus, but I eventually downloaded it when everybody was taking naps. So I was like, oh, I'll try this out. And it's really good.
Yeah,
it looks really good. The puzzles are cool. I didn't know what I was getting into, and like I started playing it was just really cool. Like it's a game where it's almost like a Metroidvania with puzzles, and what you do is you have this beam that can make multiples of yourself.
Right.
And then you can like put yourself inside those multiples. So like if you have a ledge, like you're standing on the ground and there's a ledge that you want to get to, you would like you would beam up one of your like duplicate cells up onto there, and then you would press a button to kind of put yourself into that thing and then go flip the switch and blah blah blah.
Right.
And then they mix it up with having like these different colored lights that prevent you from making multiples or shooting yourself into the other multiple and stuff like that. It's really cool and very atmospheric.
Right.
It's like kind of got this dark, you're this astronaut. It's an indie game. Yeah. I don't remember who makes it, but it's really cool.
It won a lot. It got a lot of acclaim. It actually won the IndieCade the one time I was there. Yeah, I think it won the jury prize or something.
I just found out recently all the graphics are claymation.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it's kind of. I mean, it looks like it when you you think about it, but it's cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Swapper definitely downloaded while it's still up there.
How far are you into it?
I don't know. I played it for about an hour.
Okay.
And I think I got pretty far, but I'm gonna finish it definitely.
And then Hakko Boy.
I've been meaning to try
that. Hakko Boy is fucking good.
What is it?
Did that not come out in America?
It's the next coming of Pushmo. I think it's only in Japan. Mm. Hakko Boy is a game. It was announced at the Nintendo Direct. It's by Hal. Good old Hal. And it is a game where you are a box that has boxes grow out of him. And, okay. like, you solve puzzles.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, you can only jump as high as one box. Mm-hmm. So there will be ledges that are like two bucks. Yeah, it's side scrolling. It's black and white. It looks like a Game Boy game. Mark, I know that excites you. It's not green though, so don't worry about that. So like maybe there would be like a ledge that you had to get onto, but it's two blocks high. So you have to grow out a box, place it down, jump. Mm-hmm.
This is for what system?
This is 3DS.
Okay.
Or like. I mean, there's all sorts of things. It's like an extremely creative game. Every world that you go into, there's like 18 worlds or something like that, has a completely new gimmick that like changes the way you think about how you play the game and stuff like that. It's really cool.
I think Hal's...
I breeze through it.
Hal's kind of known for... Well, back in the day, they did the Lolo games, right?
Did
the Adventures of Lolo. Like, as soon as I saw that, for some reason, it reminded me of that era anyway, like of when people made like action platform puzzle games, you know, like sort of like... Mm-hmm. Not puzzle in the drop puzzle, but like in the sense of like figuring out puzzles to move forward sort of thing.
Well, so in this... I didn't see the start of the Nintendo Direct, but this was not announced for the U.S.?
I didn't watch the U.S. one, but I don't think it was.
I only saw it in the Japanese one, but I was kind of watching two at once, so it was hard to keep
Okay, well, up. We'll talk more about the Direct in the news, but you say you already finished it?
I finished the main story, and then there are extra stages, like really hard stages, after you finish the game, which is great, because I can't get enough of that game.
Mm.
And there's also like these score-based and time-based challenges, and... Like you can buy them with these points that you get, and I bought the first one, and you can buy it almost at the beginning of the game, and I was expecting it to be really easy, but like they have like you have to complete it in 30 seconds or something like that. Mm-hmm. And using all the knowledge I have of the game, I still could not get it down to 30 seconds. Right. So like I was playing it for like 30, 40 minutes, just like, oh, I gotta get better. And it's mm-hmm.
But it seemed like you kind of should be able to.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
And then last game I want to talk about with you about is Dreeps. I was following since forever. I saw these guys randomly, tweet. So this is a Japanese indie game.
Yes.
For iOS. Yeah, and I think it's going to come out to other stuff later, but like the idea of it is pretty brilliant. And like recently,
it's an RPG for the alarm game.
Yeah, nice. So it's like the JRPG for people who don't have time to play a JRPG as their pitch. Yeah. And all you do is basically set an alarm in the game, like which you're going to do anyway, right? Set your sleeping alarm. And I did download it. It just came out. One thing I noticed is that it like the alarm doesn't go off if you have it set on manner mode or
it'll show up. So the game will start. It just won't, you know, you won't hear it.
But I mean, I want to actually use it a lot. I use my...
I don't use an alarm, so I'm glad that it has that option.
The vibrate version of my alarm.
What's the name after
it? It's called Dreeps. Dreeps. I don't know what that's a combination of. Maybe Droid and Sleep or something.
$3. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But the looks graphics...
Really cool.
Yeah, the graphics are really,
oh, they're really,
really cool
good.
And it's the kind of the idea of it is that you... I don't know what happens when you... set the alarm, but normally it's
he recharges.
Okay. The game is kind of playing itself, and so throughout the day you can just kind of check in and be like, oh, what's going on in the game.
I love how they call it an alarm playing game.
That's funny. Right. Yeah, you basically, you know, you'll wake up in the morning, the alarm will go off, you turn on the game, and he'll wake up, he'll get out of his like hospital room and then go out on an adventure, and he'll just walk. And if you watch it for a while, it's just like this character walking. And from time to time, he'll meet an enemy, and he'll, like, fight the enemy, and you'll get experience points, and he'll keep walking.
And I noticed you can you interact, like, intervene if you happen to be watching?
Every once in a while, he'll, like, kind of, if he loses a battle or something, he'll kind of shut down.
Right.
And you tap on him, and he'll, like, start moving again.
Right. And there's no, like, dialogue or anything. No.
It's all atmosphere. It's all, like, this just world that's kind of... I think it's kind of random. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just really fun to look at. The music is really good.
Yeah.
I was watching it on the train this morning, and
it's just an interesting idea, yeah. I think. Yeah, yeah. But I'm really curious to see how well it's implemented. So maybe we could talk about that more next podcast, since it just came out, I think, yesterday.
Yeah. I got it as soon as I knew it was.
Does it like
out.
Eat up your battery at all? Since
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, no. In that respect, like, if you don't have it on screen, it's not going to eat up your battery, because you can have it on, and even in sleep mode, it's doing stuff.
It'll send you alerts too. It said it asked to send alerts too, but I'm curious.
I think that's
about
just for
what?
The alarm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Huh. I've had it on kind of, I mean, today was my first day, and it's been cool to, like, you know, check in and see, like, a new location, or, like, if I've leveled up or something like that. Like, it's almost like Progress Quest. Have you ever played Progress Quest?
Yeah.
It was this PC program where it was, like, you'd roll, like, a random, like, motorcycle pygmy or something like that, and then, like, the game would just play itself.
Yeah, one
and
of those.
And you would get, you know, different crazy skills and weapons and stuff like that. It's kind of like that, but just, like, a very peaceful... 2D 8-bit art.
Right.
Well, not 8-bit
art,
but
right now. Dreeps. Dreeps. Look it up.
And you can, like, Google it first if you want to see kind of what it looks like or get an idea. They have a video up on YouTube, and they tweet in English sometimes as well.
Yeah, I think the game is mostly in English, so...
It is in English if you download the thing.
That's true. I'm playing it on a Japanese system.
Oh, really?
So.
And it's still in English. Wow. Okay. I didn't realize that. Otherwise, most of us are playing stuff that we've talked about before, I think. John, you've been playing a lot of Rogue Legacy.
Yes.
Getting ready for our Japanese release
version. Yes. Which is almost done. We're at 98% or something like that as we record this.
Very exciting. It's looking good.
Yeah, super stoked. We put a lot of work on the Japanese version to make it look awesome, because that game is so good. And I've been playing it on Vita. I used to play it mostly on consoles, but I'm playing it on Vita lately, like when I go to bed at night. And like that's why I'm like kind of out of it now, because I've been up to 4 a.m. the last couple of nights, because I can't stop playing. Mm-hmm. It's one of those games, like when you start playing, you can't... just one more
there's
run.
No
just one more
stop
level
time,
up.
Because even when you die, there's like... that you've just progressed to the next thing. Like,
right,
that's
well,
the
you have your money. You have your money to use, and then you're like, oh, I just used it, I want to try it, and then you go again, and then like...
Yep, there's it's not easy to walk away from.
So good.
At any point.
Otherwise, just been playing more of what did we decide to call it? S? Project S, which is something we're working on, so that's kind of taken up all my time.
And that's been, something else that we've been working on that's been taking up all my time, which I played a shitload of, and actually, like... I finally got back to Destiny. The hard raid just dropped.
Congratulations.
And I actually was like, oh, wait, what? Because I was playing so much of this other game that I had to get reused to the controls. We'll talk about the hard mode in Destiny. I know you're all excited about it. So maybe next time. Roy, you're playing Kingdom Hearts still, but a different Kingdom Hearts game with a different ridiculous subtitle.
Yeah, well, I meant to talk about this, but I finished 2. I got to the point in 2 where I'm done. I beat Sephiroth. After you do that, there's like a special keyblade you get if you can resolve the sexual tension between Sephiroth and Cloud.
Oh, wow.
It's like a... I mean, I'm not literally.
Is that like
it feels
like a timing mini game? Oh, okay. Okay, that's not... Okay.
No, no. So then I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to beat this game and move on to Birth by Sleep, because I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Which one is that?
It was a PSP game.
Okay. Is that the card game?
No, that was the DS game. Or
what was that
game Boy
Birth
Advance
by Sleep
game.
Is the one that like a lot of fans say is like a real entry or whatever, even though it was on PSP. It's
I think it was cursed for being on PSP. But
what are you playing
so far
on?
It's in the... If you get the 2.5 HD remix, it comes with an HD version of it for PS3.
Okay.
So
can you kind of tell that it was originally made for...
Yeah, like when they talk, their mouths don't really open. They just turn into like black triangles, you know?
Right.
It kind of has that PSP. Yeah. But it's very different. It breaks the mold in a lot of ways. Like the game starts and there's just all these people that already have Keyblades. And you're kind of like, so far every game you've played, you start as some normal kid and he's just like going along his everyday life. And then some... monster comes out of the sky, and then all of a sudden he's got a Keyblade.
Okay.
But in this game, everybody just has them, and you're like, that's weird, because, you thought that in the previous games you had witnessed the very first Keyblade appear, and now all of a sudden there's all these people just walking around with them. So that was weird.
Right.
And then also...
This sounds like it's totally breaking the mold so far.
Well,
Kingdom
hold on.
Hearts games. Also, I mean, whoa, what?
Also, there's...
What?
There's,
more people have Keyblades. I mean, is the game itself... What's the game itself? Like, well, is it...
Who's the main character?
That's the thing.
One? Like, I don't... I know there's, like, fucking five of them.
Yeah,
like,
well, that's the... In this game... There's three main characters.
Okay, this is the one with the three, and one of them is like a girl.
And you have to pick.
Okay, I know which one this is.
Yeah, and you have to pick who you want to play as first, and you play through their whole story, and then switch to another character, play their whole story, and then after you clear all three, then you've experienced the whole game.
Oh, really?
So that's very different because normally it's just like you're Sora, and you got Donald and Goofy following you around, and you know they're annoying us.
Who did you pick? Who of the three beginning things?
So the three people are this big dude who's like. He's like your burly guy.
Okay.
He's really strong.
Gotcha.
I went with him because in the list he was just first, and I was like, "Why not?"
All right.
Then there's this little guy who he's like the youngest member. He kind of looks a lot like Roxas, which is Sora's nobody. So he's like, he seems like he's related to the main character.
We need a translator.
Just now. Yeah. Along.
He's, yes,
yes,
he's right. Right.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Right. Yep. Okay. Gotcha.
And then there's Aqua. She's the girl. And
she's a Barbie girl.
She's cool. No, she's pretty badass. She's they take a test in the beginning, and she's the only one who passes the test. Spoiler alert. So they make her seem like she's pretty awesome, pretty badass. She uses like magic.
How do you like the game so far?
I like it. Like, it's a little different. The commands that you have to enter are a little more complicated. Like different button presses.
For combat, you mean?
Yeah. Like you'll have to build up gauges for different buttons. Like, there's a... Instead of just mashing X, which is mostly what you do in the first couple Kingdom Hearts, there's, like, a triangle button.
Oh, my
but
God.
But you can't always press...
Goodness.
I know. Shut up, you guys. Shut up. So, every once in a while, you have to throw a triangle in there. And then you go into, like, this different mode where you attack faster, do more damage, and... Yeah. It's fun.
We're nodding along.
I forgot. I actually did play one other game. I only played like 20 minutes of it, but I actually played something new.
I was done,
good.
By the way.
I've had enough of Kingdom Hearts. No, we'll come back to you.
Okay.
Brandish, Dark Revenant for PSP came out. PSP came out this week by Xseed. Released a PSP game on Vita. Download.
Wow.
Falcom Classic. It's a very hardcore dungeon crawler. It's really good. So if you're okay with the fact that you'd be playing a PSP game, well, it doesn't look bad or anything.
So it's a dungeon crawler, but what kind of dungeon crawler?
Overhead view dungeon crawler, kind of like...
It's not a turn-based.
I only played a little bit of it. No, it's not like a...
Chocobo's Dungeon.
Right, it's not a roguelike in that sense, but it's... I think elements of it are random. I actually don't know. I knew very little about it other than that Brandish, you know Brandish from back in the day. It was like a classic RPG series. There was like Super Famicom games and stuff.
I know the name, yeah.
That's the game where the whole world turned, right? When you turned?
Yeah. Exactly, and it still does.
The whole world turned when you turned.
So it's not like, it's like when your character, you have your character, right, and you turn to the right.
You use the R button to turn instead of... Right.
You stayed pointing the same direction, the world turned around you. Okay.
Yeah, it's weird. You use the D-pad to move, and then you use the L and R buttons
that
to kind of turn stuff.
That sounds like an awful idea.
In execution, it is kind of weird, but in execution, it's better than it sounds. It's definitely like one of those kind of classic Japanese dungeon crawlers, but you know, because it's Falcom, it has really good production values. I think games like this, like, we're really lucky to even see it in English, so it's cool that Xseed put it out.
Amazon calling.
I wonder who it's for.
I forgot to put a game down. But The Legend of Korra.
The game?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we got you a code.
Yeah, I've been playing that. Haruki likes that game.
Platinum games?
Not Platinum's best game. Let's just put it that way.
Not their best-selling game either.
Does it start with, like, the first series of Korra? Like, where does it start in the story?
I have no idea.
You don't know?
Are you a Korra?
I am. I'm a big, like, Avatar fan.
Oh, okay. I think it's, like, a totally side story sort of thing. But, like, the problem is...
I forgot that Korra wasn't... Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
You can tell how much I know about this entire thing.
Yeah.
I was like, what? When I read the news, I'm like, there's something called Avatar? Okay.
Yeah, this game has a lot of problems. One being, like, there's only, like, three enemies. Two, like, regular enemies just out in the world do shitloads of damage. So, like, sometimes you'll die. You'll, like... Some guy will catch you and hit you like four times and you'll die and you'll be like, what the fuck just happened? And you'll start back at like some checkpoint and you'll have to watch a fucking cutscene 15 times.
Okay.
Let's but talk the action, the well, I will say,
I'm going to cut you off.
I know, but the action is good.
Really,
I've heard really good things about that show, though. Like to the point that I almost want to watch it.
There
like,
are good and bad seasons.
You really... got a big fan, right? Here.
I mean, I like.
It's over now, right?
Yeah, it's over. Like it just kind of ended a while ago. But I still like the original Avatar better than I like Korra's story. I don't know. It's just not. The writing change.
This is no relation to the James Cameron movie, right?
No.
It's a generational thing. I know nothing.
Why don't we have it live on enveloping?
Oh, but it's not an amiibo. This is Zestria. Zesty. It's the Zestius. Tales of Zesty.
This is... You know the Amazon... Well, he's not the Amazon guy, obviously.
What is this?
I don't even know.
Open it.
Did it come with some shampoo? Or is it
wait, you like a black bag.
Is there a PSP?
How beautiful is the packaging, John?
Say,
oh, God. You know, wait, do we need to film this and put it on YouTube?
I actually bought the physical version.
We're stopping John from tweeting
this right now. Is there a PS4 version?
No. It's a PS3 game. It's an anniversary.
Why would they do that?
What is the
little... They've been working on it for like 3 years now.
What is the little black bag?
I don't know. There's a little black bag. Premium... rubber strap.
Yes.
Okay.
Good old rubber strap.
It on.
It's either rubber strap or lover strap. I'm not sure. It could be either
probably
one.
Probably rubber.
Lover.
Same word in Japanese. But the guy. So he's not an Amazon guy, obviously. But the guy who delivered the package just now looked like he's straight out of BioShock. Like, what is with the guys who deliver stuff in Japan? They have like spacesuits. Like
it's
he's got pants, right? It's pants and like this giant hood, and he's like three times his normal size. Sorry, I think I just gave you a boob elbow.
Yeah, let's see what this rubber strap business is all about. So this is the latest Tales game. It's for PS3.
Opening the the packaging is part of the game.
Yeah. No,
oh, this is cool. Yeah. It's a pixel.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like key it's chain thing. Now I can confirm pixel. It is rubber. It's not lover.
Yeah.
I see the box. Art. I actually like it.
Mark, all right. Well, yeah.
Note the feathers and all their hair.
You should.
They have feather earrings.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see what the rubber strap was, you should check John's Twitter account. I'm sure it'll be up there soon. Are you going to put that on your old flip phone?
I'm going to buy a necklace and wear it around.
Oh, nice. That would actually be pretty
sweet. Put it on a gold chain.
So why did you buy this game? Let me ask you that.
Because it's a Tales game and I want to play it. We have a history with the series. We've worked on the games that for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And this is like the brand new one and I know very little about it and I want to try it.
Okay.
I played the last two or three games, even though we worked on them, even after that, I still played them for like 50, 60 hours.
There's no PS4 version of this game?
No. Wow. This was like, they're always late. I mean, this has been in development for like 2 or 3 years now.
Right.
Maybe there will be. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
And it'll sell well. This game's still so well. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason they still bring them out. But it astounds me that a PS3 game comes out. I mean, not that PS4 is setting any records here, but
sure.
For the foreign markets, I think you take the same game, slap it on the PS4,
and maybe even the Vita.
I read the plot, like the opening plot, and be ready to be disappointed.
I've never played these games for the story. We worked on the game, so it's never. I mean, don't get me wrong; we make the dialogue as amazing as can possibly be. But I mean, you know, these games are about. They really are like gameplay packed JRPGs. They have the best battle systems. They have super like, you know, detailed gameplay systems, and you know, that's kind of why I get excited whenever I play a new
one. The reason I just ask is cuz I know that you have absolutely no time to do anything. And so it's not that you would never play a Tales game.
I'll play this for an hour this weekend and then probably play the next 40 hours in like a year and a half. I do actually. Yeah, but not for too much longer. Because it has like a video inside or something too. I guess it's on the PS3 disc though.
Oh.
But anyway.
Okay.
So yeah. Well, it's got a reversible cover.
While John gets these photos up, why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, we will have the news, Nintendo Directs, Microsoft Holograms, and other things from the future when we come back. Okay, and we are back with the news, JJ.
Wow. You're trying something new.
You're working on that. You've been practicing.
Yeah. You did have a lot of time to practice.
So we already talked a little bit about the Nintendo Direct, but there was a lot to talk about there.
Oh,
so,
man.
Both the Japanese and the American and the European ones even. So... Starting off with a new Fire Emblem game.
Oh my god!
Which got people super.
That was
excited.
Smart to put that at the start because it was like, okay, this was already worth me like taking the time out to set up and watch. It was amazing. Yep. It looks so good.
That's like a. That's like a. I mean, especially coming off that last game.
Yeah.
And that last game's localization, that is like a huge bit of news. Like, I'm surprised they don't hold that for E3.
Yeah, that game is becoming like a big franchise in the West, which is great because
it's really,
really
cool to see how excited people were for that. And I mean, like,
dude, it looks so
even
good.
On even before the last game, you know, you wouldn't have gotten I think that like level of excitement. But
you need to know what's up with that like alternative art style they had in the beginning part where it was like it looked kind of like
there's like
realistic
or samurai
something
and stuff.
Yeah, it was like Japan-ish and like
that's where the if part comes in. It's like one of those what
if
comics.
I have a theory on that. I have a theory on the if thing. People, it's not like it's genius. Other people have figured it out too. But you know those. Remember they announced the Shin Megami Tensei game. Well, the old Super Famicom games had a Shin Megami Tensei if series.
Yeah, that's right. I remember
which
that
makes
name.
Me wonder if this is related. This I kind of hope it's not actually. I don't want them dipping their Shin Megami whatever in my Fire Emblem.
Because wouldn't they say if this was that game on the Japanese direct?
Probably, but you never know. Like maybe they're maybe they're purposely not wanting to. Yeah. Maybe that's supposed to be a you know a reveal later. I don't know.
Right.
But
they also have feet.
Awesome.
We confirmed.
We did. I want to think we're partly responsible for that.
But that's only for owners of the new Nintendo 3DS.
That's right. They can only handle them with the feet with the new processor. Also, people were like speculating. It looked like armor maybe could be damaged or something. Huh. People were like. You know, zooming in on close-ups and like analyzing and
I didn't do that, but I mean, videos. I did see there were a lot of things from Awakening because I guess if you started with Awakening, you wouldn't know how like the series like constantly changes the play mechanics with each version. But like Awakening had the thing where two people could pair up and fight together, and that is back obviously because you saw it in the video. But that was nice to see. Mm. I was always a big fan of shoving, which is a thing from like previous games that wasn't in Awakening. But I'm hoping they bring that back.
What does shoving get you for people who aren't familiar?
You can move a character like one spot. Like you can take your guy and have your move be moving someone else. Yeah,
that you're like, oh shit, actually they're in a bad position.
Yeah,
I need
one
to
or two spots depending. Yeah, but it was like super like that just adds so much strategy because like where you are on the playfield is everything and like.
Yep.
On the fly, not on the fly, but like, you know, real time, you're seeing what the enemy's doing and you could be doing something else to kind of change your positioning. Anyway, and then got, what's his name back? Kozaki-san, who did the art in Awakening. He did No More Heroes and stuff.
Art,
yeah, I love his art. He's so good.
Great character designs, too.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, it's exciting. So this summer in Japan, it's coming soon. I guess they couldn't have waited for E3.
And they showed cards on the Japanese stream, too, which they didn't show on the English one. I don't know the full details. Did that interact with the 3DS version at all? Or
I don't think so. I think it's just a card game.
Well, whatever it is, it sounds like they have big plans for Fire Emblem. So very, very
The art was cool, so I'm going to get those.
Puzzle & Dragons Z, along with Puzzle & Dragons Mario Edition.
That was a surprise that that's going to be one game.
2-for-1, localized for the West, come out in May in North America and Europe. Japan is just getting the Mario Edition separately in April. Because, of course, Puzzle & Dragons Z already came out here last year. But, like, smart move to package those two games together.
This is a very smart move because Z is not... it's the puzzle aspects of it are really fun, but the rest of the game is very, like... JRPG
there.
For babies. It's totally like simple, like beginner. So I don't think it would have stood well on its own. But packed in with the Mario game is really, really smart.
That whole thing is just really interesting. Like that whole. I mean, a lot of people have been writing a lot about you know how it's kind of Nintendo playing footsie with the mobile market, and you know they did say that they're going to be loaning out their characters in more other types of. Things Nintendo did, but it's very interesting, you know, the different ways that could kind of go, I guess, that they are bringing it out in the West, and it'll be interested to see how much they get behind it, how they publicize it, like how they PR it, how they market that game.
In Japan, you mean?
No,
or?
Outside of Japan.
Outside
of Japan,
I
know exactly how they're going to do, but, but and also how they're going to take, you know, how it's going to sell, and then how that's going to affect anything, you know? Like
it's a I think in Japan it's like a probably a week I don't want to say day one, but I want to say week 1 million seller for sure. Like that is just guaranteed.
Really?
But if you were if you were Nintendo and you made this deal, would you not or you were gung-ho, would you not say, okay, we're gonna do this game, but also let's have Nintendo characters appear on the app.
Yeah, I don't see the that
mobile
happening.
App.
Right.
Oh, man.
That's the sensible thing, but that just doesn't make sense for Nintendo, because what happens then is, if you play that kind of game, you're only ever going to use the Nintendo. The Nintendo characters are like a billion times better than every other character in Puzzle and Dragons times 50. So
right.
It just doesn't make sense to suddenly, because everybody would just be using it, but Gung Ho would be getting the money from that, right? Because it's not like you make money off of how often people play with your characters. You make money off the one time they try to get them, then the event's over and you don't make money anymore. You know what I mean?
But
Nintendo.
But first of all, mind share wise, right? You get these, like, I mean, it's what, like something nuts, like 20, 30 million people in Japan playing Puzzle and Dragons, where, like, I mean, people pay that, the amount of dollar value or yen value on just even having your character's name appear there and be like, oh yeah, that's right, Nintendo or Mario or whatever is high.
If they do that for, like, you know, like Chibi Robo or something, maybe, but like Mario, like, doesn't need that, I don't think. You know what I mean? Like,
two people on this podcast just got excited at the mention of Chibi Robo.
But yeah, I know what you mean. But like, what I wonder is, like,
Ice Climbers, loan them my fucking Ice Climbers or something.
Well, that, like, would be a big thing. I mean, if people would freak out.
Fire Emblem is coming out this week. Oh, and on this week, and Puzzle and Dragons,
right,
there's
right.
two Fire Emblem characters. What the fuck is Fire Emblem? I'm
right.
gonna actually find out now, because blah blah blah. Like, people would be talking about it. You know,
totally, we could have a whole other 3-hour podcast audience just talking about, like, how much that is true or not. Like, I really wonder, do mobile people, like, exist in this? Yeah, there are 30 million of them. Do really none of them know about Mario, or do they just not care anymore, or you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I wonder
it's
if you can really expand your...
It, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I doubt they would care past having the little picture in their Puzzle and Dragons
well,
game.
Well,
on the other hand, they've got these Pokemon puzzle games, right? And I think they've got... One of the things they announced in the Direct was a new one that's, like,
yeah.
I think it's free to play, right? You kind of wonder
free
if they're
not... Free
to
start is what they called it.
Right, free to start. You wonder if they're not thinking
start.
About...
Pokemon Shuffle.
That's actually interesting that they would change that is very Nintendo like to change the free to play to free to start.
I think it's a very specific. There's probably a really specific reason why they.
Isn't
that
just what you call, like, a demo?
Well,
how is that different from a demo?
I don't
you
know.
Download the game. You can play a certain chunk of
it.
It
really
for free,
it depends if that's
to...
what it is or if it just means.
Well, demos you typically can't buy the full game from the demo.
Right.
Well,
that's
more like, it's more like shareware.
A lot of times at the demo, you can just be like, well, anyway.
That's what I could see. I wonder, like, if they're ever going to do anything on mobile, it makes sense to me that the first thing they did would be, like, a Pokemon puzzle game of sorts. You
but
know what I mean?
It's funny that this is the second Pokemon puzzle game in, like, the last 6 months.
Yeah, they did Torose as well.
But it would just be cross-promotion. Like, that way it wouldn't be them making a mobile game at all. Well, anyway, we probably spent enough time talking about it. There's a lot of here to talk about, so... Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, which we didn't really end up talking about in the in the starter. So how amazing is that game, Roy?
It is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that localization?
Well,
is
the font,
good?
The font is leaps and bounds better than the last
yes.
game.
Yes. I was looking at YouTube videos of it, and it was, my eyes were,
thank God.
It feels
very
so
relieved.
Yeah, yeah.
They finally used humans to decide the fonts, I think. Yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
It looks way better than the last two
and,
games.
There are more tutorials, so it is more beginner-friendly. Still, like, not as many as they probably should have. Like, remember Jon Snow was saying something about
right.
how, like,
it comes all in chunks and
yeah.
it's delivered in text and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's a huge step forward from what they've ever had before.
Yes, I mean, the last couple games have had nothing.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, just being able to explain how to use a weapon effectively is super helpful.
Actually, and nowadays, like, besides from how they do it in the game, like, Adam Ivanko, friend of the show, has been putting up these great tutorials on how
to
use weapons.
Talk to him about... make like he uses text in those videos.
Yeah,
we need to make a voiceover for those videos.
He addressed it on his Tumblr, but I don't
he
remember
did?
His reason. He said this is why I'm not.
Well, he's probably because his wife and kid are asleep or right. something. Like, there's probably a lot of reasons not to do that, but it's just it's not. I want to come in. I want to have him do it and do not just one person talking, but do like a conversation because those videos are great.
Yeah.
And we'll
seeing
talk
how
about
somebody
them.
Plays Monster Hunter in like a clear and concise way. Will affect your game a lot.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in some weapon, I suggest looking for Gaijin Hunter.
Yes.
It's hard to find his videos because if you look up Gaijin Hunter, it's a bunch of videos about people complaining about Gaijin hunters in Japan.
Anyway, it's one word, you might be alright.
Yeah, maybe it's best to go to Tumblr first.
They have announced that the game is coming out in the West on February 13th, along with the new 3DS.
Yes,
and so
that's also awesome.
And Majora's Mask.
Right about to, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. We'll right about the time of our, right before, I guess right after our next podcast. So either next episode or maybe the one after, we'll have Adam on to talk all things Monster Hunter.
So also, this was a big cool thing in the Japanese. I think this ended the Japanese Nintendo Direct, but Rhythm Heaven.
Yes.
Rhythm Tengoku, which is awesome. That's coming out this summer.
Hopefully uses buttons, not the touchscreen.
It's kind of like an anthology. It's got like 100 mini games from the past Rhythm Tengoku games, and then 30 new ones.
Cool.
I'm very excited.
So good.
Style Savvy JJ, you're also excited about that. Girls Mode 3.
You make a joke, but there, you should say that to Sarah, because she's actually April. Pretty excited.
Did I hear that you like Bratz games?
No, it's the one game that, like, I'm ashamed to like, but when I was younger, for some reason, I got my hands on, like, the Bratz games. Mm-hmm. Like, I had at least two of them. God, I was probably, like, 10, 12.
Okay.
And I just really liked them. I remember, like, they're one of, like, it's like...
Did you want to grow up to be a Bratz?
No, but it was something
about... It's like Zelda, Super Metroid, and Bratz.
That's literally what it was, though. I played Zelda, Tales of Symphonia, and then, like, Bratz was there next to, like, Smash Bros.
Yeah, what do you
Bros.
Do in those games?
It was, like, you would just kind of... You got to... Because there's, like, 5 dolls, and they all worked at, like, a magazine company, and each of them had, like, a different job. So one of them was a photographer, one of them was, like, the story writer, and I don't remember what the other ones did. I think someone did, like, fashion, and they wrote columns. Mm-hmm. And you would go... They built this kind of town for you... that the Bratz lived in, and you would go around like hunting for stories. So each of the Bratz had different missions.
That's actually kind of...
Does everyone in the Bratz universe have a big
weird heads and huge eyes?
And they like bear midriffs.
It depends on what top you picked.
Oh, okay.
Because within the game, you could like unlock, like depending on, because there was an actual like story that usually cut in with one of the movies.
Bratz kind of slutty though.
They are.
Right?
I was not into Bratz dolls. Yeah. I was a My Scene doll girl.
Okay.
So let's just like draw the line. It was a little cooler than like Bratz dolls.
Okay.
Draw the line there. The games are okay.
Where do American Girl...
How serious you look when you're talking.
I know.
Where does American Girl fall on the spectrum?
American Girl is something you get when you're much younger.
Okay.
I think because I have a few of them, and that's more like a baby doll kind of.
Mark, why do you know about all this stuff?
Well, American Girl is a huge
they're expensive
success
too,
story.
Yeah,
of recently. Well, recently.
But because they're so bulky, they're more for younger girls. They're easier to dress.
Yeah.
And Barbies can't keep their damn shoes on. So American Girls were a lot easier for like younger girls to like handle.
That's right.
There's also, I think, video games for American Girl.
Yes, there are. And they have really bad box arts.
Oh. Yeah, really? They do, don't they? Yep.
Not like
I haven't
Bratz.
Played those.
No. How did this happen? Where were we talking about?
I don't know. What's this even about anymore?
Girls Mode 3?
Yeah, speaking of Hatsune Miku.
Hatsune Miku.
Woo.
Just like Miku.
Crap still coming out.
Hey.
Project Mirai
DX. We worked on that game.
I say that lovingly.
Yeah.
I like
everybody
that
listens
game.
To this podcast knows how much I
it's
love
a,
that
it's
game.
It's a good rhythm game.
Yep.
Not as good as like
Beat Pokemon
Mania
Shuffle. We talked about already.
Looks good.
Huckleboy. We talked about.
Looks good.
The Japan only is listed here. Thanks for NeoGAF. This is the NeoGAF thread. I think we're taking us all from 3D Afterburner 2, 3D Fantasy Zone, 3D Outrun, 3D Fantasy Zone is listed again, and 3D Thunderblade.
I actually been playing that. John got it for me for Christmas.
Which
Thank
one,
you,
Thunderblade?
John. No, the 3D classic set.
All of them.
Oh, okay.
And Outrun in 3D is mind-blowing. Like, shit comes at you like a million miles per hour. Afterburner isn't on the collection, which is unfortunate, because that was one I really wanted to try.
Just Afterburner 2.
In the Japanese one, there is no Afterburner.
Oh, okay.
But Space Harrier and Outrun are just incredible on
that. And Afterburner?
No. I owned a stand-up Afterburner cabinet.
What?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
When? Where? Why?
In high school, I got it at an auction.
With the full like.
No, it was
call that yoke. The full yoke.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't the one that moved around and stuff. It just had the flight stick and everything.
Whoa. You mean it wasn't the R360?
No.
Have you? That thing was amazing.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've never actually.
Did you go in there ever?
Of course, yeah.
That thing was crazy.
That was what you did when you went to the arcade. First, you go to the R360, then you do everything else because that was like the coolest.
We never had one of those in Memphis, but I did own a stand-up Afterburner.
Wow.
Well, how much did you pay for that?
$70.
What?
How much did you sell it for?
I don't know. My parents got rid of it while I was here.
Like your blankie, like you went kind to school of. One day. And
no, Afterburner Arcade. Nah, throw it out.
Fossil Fryers Frontier, motherfucker. Woo! March 20th. Yeah.
How's the song go again?
We should play it on the podcast.
Definitely. Yeah. I had the I tried just now tried to think of it, and I got this Perfect Strangers thing. Oh, man. Because I was like, standing.
Nothing's going to. It's basically that.
But it's. It
nothing's
going to
stop me now.
Yeah, it's. What is it? How does that go?
Adventures right around
the bend. Yeah. And the world's got wonders to spare. Prehistoric lore to restore, new friend. So get out there, go if you dare.
All right. Theater Rhythm Dragon Quest.
Yes, that looks awesome.
March 26th. Here in Japan, Lego City Undercover, The Chase Begins. Japanese release getting that late.
Let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah, so new 3DS. Not in North America, but new 3DS XL coming out in the West.
That was weird. That was the day before people were saying, like, they saw a leaked poster and it only had the XL. And even I was like, no, they just only leaked one of the two posters or something.
There was
no way they would ever not put the regular new 3DS out.
Me too. Yeah.
And there it isn't.
No faceplates for you.
Nope. Yeah. And that is like the coolest
suckers.
System.
It's weird.
After the Nintendo Direct, I kept like tweeting about all these like cool faceplates that we were getting and all this stuff like that. And I didn't want to be, but I was like rubbing it in and all like Brandon and Corey.
Friend of the show, Brandon Boyer.
And we're just show, like, Corey, dude, Schmitz. What are you doing? And I'm just like, I don't mean to. I'm just.
Yeah, so this is, they had follow-up questions. And also, it does not come, new 3DS XL does not come with an AC adapter.
Which is fine, I think. A lot of people flipped out about that.
Yeah, I think that's like a mountain out of a
molehill. But if you're is that basically just saying, you know what, no one is new, we're not going to get anybody new to buy this thing? I mean, it's not a very consumer-friendly Walmart.
I think it's saying if you are one of the few who doesn't have one of the three previous systems, like, you're saving $10. Presuming you are. I mean, I'm assuming they did make it $10 cheaper. If not, it makes no sense at all. But,
right.
Well, I think
and
it's
you can buy
$200.
It separately.
But, I mean, should they have done that with, like, you know, Wii U? It's like, okay, well, you don't need to include power cable or
I don't know if it's hundreds of millions,
AV
but
cable.
Maybe hundreds of millions at this point between the old DS, which used this, the old DSi.
It started
used
the DSi,
And then all the 3DSs have used it. I mean, by this point, like, if you don't have one of those, you probably are, like, either a baby or a new gamer entirely.
Yeah, but how
like,
come I can never find mine? I need the new ones because I lose my old ones.
What about having one at work and one at home?
That is like me. I have one like everywhere. I have one in my bedroom.
You know,
in my living room.
Nintendo presented it like, oh, yes, we did it this way to save you money. But actually, is that thing going to launch for more than $200? No, I think Nintendo might have done that to save themselves money because they're going to launch that thing at $200 anyway.
Right. I guess it doesn't shock me too much, though, because like in Europe and Japan, that has been the standard already. That's not like this isn't a new thing. Like, it's not the end of the world. It's
so
not,
some degree,
it
some
just
degree,
looks cheap.
I'm playing devil's advocate. To some degree, I'm playing devil's advocate because... Yeah, I mean, but I do think there is a potential, like, slippery slope here where it's like, okay, well, we didn't need to give you, like, an HDMI cable. It's like, just up until now in America, it's like, you're getting everything in the box that you need to be able to do it.
Yeah,
and when you weren't, like, with the PS3 came with, like, you know, initially came with super shitty cables at first. Like, they were really taken to task for it. And I think it's also kind of acknowledging, like, hey, this is not going to sell to new consumers because that's not a message that a person goes and buys a Christmas gift for somebody at Walmart is used to getting with a video game thing. It's like, oh, okay, I have to get this, and I have to get the AC adapter.
And does it tell you?
Separately.
I'm afraid like people are going to buy these, go home, open them up, and be like, oh.
I'm sure it'll be loud and clear.
The Walmart guy will be like, hey, would you like to buy a charge cable?
They will at GameStop. I think you got the GameStop and the Walmart guy mixed up.
Walmart guy's like, you want a charge cable?
There you go. You got to keep your voices separate. Make them fatter.
Anybody know if, like, if you buy the...
that's better.
If you buy the, say, the Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate bundle, does that come with a charger, or do you still have to...
No, I don't think any of the... Nothing comes with the AC adapter.
I could just see somebody getting, like, their parents buy that for them, and... It's like 9 o'clock and all the GameStops are closed and you can't.
You can go to Walmart, though.
I wonder how much this has to do with the exchange rate, too, because, like, the exchange rate's pretty... although no, it would be. Wait,
man, right no, now dude, they're making. Be, they're just, making more.
Yeah, it's weird. Now.
It's because way in their favor.
Also weird was that there's a Zelda Majora's Mask 3DS XL bundle that doesn't come with the game.
Yeah, it's not just, even a bundle.
It doesn't come with the game.
Well, no. It comes with the game. It comes with a download code for the game, right?
Oh, no.
What?
Unless I now, no. To be fair.
You're right, John. It does not come with the game at all.
I'm just going by what I read, but what I read is that the game is separate. You get the...
Does the game come with the figurine?
The bundle looks like... The game is... You can buy the game with the figurine separately if you were pre-ordered in time. That's already kind of gone, which I missed out on. Oh, no, actually, I didn't. Good, my friend of mine, Anthony Parisi, thank you, got one for me. But the 3DS itself is a... Fairly nicely designed, like
I don't 3DS. Think so. It's gold.
I'm
with
trying
a
to be nice
on
because,
it.
To be fair, my one is nicer. The Link Between Worlds one is definitely
is
nicer.
Way nicer.
And here I'm doing the thing you just told, like felt bad about, but like the faceplate in Japan for the regular new 3DS for Majora's Mask is ridiculous.
It's
is
way better.
50 million times nicer looking than that 3DS XL.
It's pretty
so,
cool. Yeah.
But yeah, I heard the game is not packed in apparently.
So
which
what's
is,
in it?
Yeah.
So like it's just a nice
system,
3D.
It's just
but
it's just a Majora's Mask edition 3DS. It's not
it's
a bundle.
Art on
so
the,
it's not a bundle.
That's no. actually the thing that it's really interesting you say that because I was thinking the same thing. Like you can't really call it a bundle when there's
right.
no game bundled
Absolutely
in. But
not.
People were calling it the Majora's
it's
Mask.
It's bundled
bundle.
In with the box.
But I am again, just because we are so often wrong on this podcast, I'm going to throw out that I'm not 100% sure about this. I'm just pretty sure.
I'm like
that's what everybody was saying the day that it happened
yourself,
anyway.
Man, I'm never Oops, wrong sorry. On this podcast. And what's the other thing about like you have to pre-order or do something else to get a Majora's Mask pin or there's like some what
a pin?
Is,
that's for like a different game. You get
yeah.
a Majora's Mask pin
oh my
if you
God,
pre-order
they are
a different
milking
game.
This.
Yeah,
I'm
what
not sure.
Is that? It's just what? Weird.
I don't know. But let's forget all the bad news. How about the good news? Like Majora's Mask is out in like 3 weeks.
None of that's like really that bad of
I'm
news.
Excited
I mean,
about
it's
that.
All just like a little bit like a head scratch.
It's kind of weird
news.
Yeah. But Majora's Mask is out in February.
Yeah, no,
like,
it's
that's
like,
so soon.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait.
Monster Hunter 2. Like
same day. Yeah, Monster Hunter and like when would since when did February's get cool? Like February used to be like the month you took off and saved your money for like the rest of the year. Now all of a sudden we have like two of the best 3DS games coming out on the
yes.
same day.
Yep.
February's gonna be awesome.
Codename Steam comes out in March.
Yes, that
in,
looks awesome
in America
too.
Way before anywhere else.
2 months before Japan.
Japan and Europe both get it in May.
And if you buy those Fire Emblem amiibos, you
yes.
get Fire Emblem characters.
Unlock
in the
their
game.
Characters in the game, which is like a little weird. Like so I don't know. Well I guess that's the whole Skylanders conceit, but buying
yeah.
particular amiibos. I thought kind of part of the idea with amiibo was like, oh, you could just buy this one and you use it in all the different games and it's like a storage.
No,
on.
They want
it's like
you
a memory
to buy,
card.
That would, it
they want you to buy
one,
a lot.
One
yeah.
game, right? And then you
one game only. Yeah,
and then
you
that's
need...
the other thing.
That's so stupid.
What?
I don't...
Wait, what do you mean? What, you,
the amiibo... So say I wanted to use my Princess Peach amiibo for Smash.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to use it for Mario Party. I can't. Unless I erase the Smash data off Princess Peach.
Amiibo's made for life.
Then I can.
You can do stuff like
that. So I will need like Princess Peach A, Princess Peach B.
Well, they do have they have two Princess Peaches now.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah. Two different ones.
You're safe.
It's not a memory card.
Make it okay.
It's not a memory card. I kind of thought it was. And maybe that's on me. But
well, there's data on there that is saved.
I know,
but
I thought it would work like a memory card where it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to like do multiple games on this.
But you can just, some games it's just like scan it. You don't have to remove your data from the other game, and
right.
something unlocks. But yeah, when you want to use that as like you're like this is my amiibo for this game. Sometimes yeah, you can only use.
Are
one
there a lot
game.
Of games that have that? The amiibo.
Not
for this
many.
Game
but Captain Toad has it. Mario Kart has it. Hyrule Warriors has it. There may be more.
Yeah, I think there are two different ways because like I can use I use some of my Smash amiibos on Mario Kart, but all they did was unlock something. It wasn't
they unlock skins,
game.
Yeah.
Right.
But it makes sense for a new franchise from Intelligent Systems to like take people from the popular Intelligent Systems franchise
right.
and like to kind of bring
Connect
in new players.
Two,
you
yeah.
know?
Let's keep going. There's a lot of stuff here. So Xenoblade Chronicles 3D port of the Wii game
Yay.
Announced for yeah
a little too
April
close
in America.
Japan. To the next game. I feel
yeah,
like...
so Japan that comes
that
out
sense.
In early April.
Wait, which one? The 3DS one?
The Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, yeah.
Right.
The 3D,
right.
The new 3DS
Made
game.
By Monster Games, which was interesting.
Yeah. Well, that bums me out a little bit, actually.
They're a Western company that... What did they do? They did...
Excitebots and Excitetruck.
Yeah, they're one of those, like,
oh, okay,
you know...
Yeah.
Those like, games are fucking awesome, and I was hoping they were making, like, a new... Like, there was a rumor that they were making the next Diddy Kong Racing...
Well, they might be. You never know.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe.
This is, but still, yeah. it's coming out in April. It's awesome. I can't wait because, like, that is a game that I never finished, but have been meaning to, and now that it's actually, on 3DS,
having that game be portable seems freaking awesome.
I played
awesome.
The heck out of that game.
Yeah. Wii U, Wii games being sold in the eShop, $20 normal price, $10 for the first week. We talked about that.
Yeah. $10 is a good price for those. Mm.
Mario Galaxy 2, Punch-Out for Wii, Donkey Kong Country Returns for Europe, and Metroid Prime Trilogy are the first titles. Galaxy 2 out now. Other titles were mentioned, like Sin and Punishment 2, JJ.
Yay.
Kirby Adventure Wii, Pandora's Tower. Speaking of Kirby, Kirby's Rainbow Curse Amiibos continue to work as a power-up of sorts. Clay model.
That's viewer. Out today.
That came out today. I'm going to get it this weekend. Yesterday. Yeah.
We'll talk about that next time, then.
Going to take Haruki to the game store, and then we're going to go see Jibanyan at the local mall.
Oh, nice. That movie's the Yo-Kai Watch movie.
Yes.
Is out.
Yes, it is.
Why have you not seen it yet?
You know, we're kind of... The whole Yo-Kai Watch thing has kind of died down in our house.
No, okay.
Really?
Wow.
I mean, he wants to go see the movie, but I'm not really too big on it. So.
Well, surprise. But, surprise.
Yeah, I got bored of it.
Yeah. Well, no. Pick the movies
that's
that they
true,
watch.
But I like... I don't. It's expensive here, and it's not like true. A, hey, let's that go to the true. Movie
right.
sort of thing.
Super Mario line of Amiibos announced. Come out, John, March 20th.
And I ordered excited. Toad. Pre-ordered Toad.
There you go.
How can you not? He's Toad. Toad.
Wave 4 of Smash Amiibos also announced. Mario Party 10 comes out in March, both in Japan and North America.
There's an Amiibo bundle.
There's an Amiibo bundle. Mm. Man, they're just bundling that shit with everything.
That's smart, though. Those
it
Amiibo
is
bundles.
Smart, dude.
Bundles.
I'm gonna, yeah, forget it, man.
Captain Toad bubble. Works with the Captain Toad treasure tracker. That yep. patch is coming out.
Yeah, that was weird. So what is later. The functionality? Like, it puts, like, secret Captain Toads around the world, and you gotta go find them?
There's a pixely old-school Toad in the level, yeah. And I think it's just a little extra treasure hunt. You just find it in the level.
That's kind of cool.
Splatoon's coming out in May.
Yes.
Customizable weapons, clothing, and avatar. The game looked really good.
Nintendo's
when they
got
showed
a freaking good
stuff.
Lineup, man. Like the next few months are like stacked.
Splatoon is my game of the year. Already.
Splatoon looks awesome.
They showed some of the special weapons, which looked pretty cool. Hyrule Warriors Majora's Mask DLC. John, I know you're excited, and JJ as well. Tingle and Young Link. Yay.
Tingle was cool. I don't really care about Young Link.
Xenoblade X. Later in that same month, Xenoblade comes out in Japan. That's April 29th.
So ready for that.
And that trailer looked freaking awesome.
It's so good.
I want to run around that world.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the scale. Like, same thing with last Xenoblade game, but scale looked amazing. Mario vs. Donkey Kong Tipping Stars. They're still making those games. Wii U and 3DS cross-buy.
Who buys those games?
Interesting that it's cross-buy. Bad games, but it is interesting that they're cross-buy. It's in March 5th in North America. 20th. They're good games. It's just, I don't know that they change a whole lot from one to the next, but then again, I haven't played one since in a while here
gotta
now.
Make use of that NST thing.
And that's pretty much the big stuff.
You're not
going to
talk about the Nintendo Anime Channel?
No. No, I'm not. If you're in Europe, I apologize because that's Europe only. But you can watch Pokemon and Inazuma 11 apparently. And then in other Nintendo news, a few days after that, they announced that their Club Nintendo reward program is closing in all three major regions.
Rest in pieces.
There's details on like how long points are still going to be redeemable, how long you can use them. Etc. Etc. You can check those out.
This is not bad news. This is definitely the predecessor to good news. They're doing this.
I agree.
So they can overhaul their system for stuff they probably should have done like 5 years ago. I'm sure, but like whatever it is, it's going to end up being better for us in the end.
Yes, they're going to announce a new loyalty program, quote, at a later date, unquote.
I hope it's a program that just knows what games I buy via my Wii ID. Instead of having to put in these stupid codes.
And I hope I can use my Japanese 3DS with it. Because, I have two, accounts, basically. Yeah, and that's just, why bother
Expecting
now?
Them to put, Club Nintendo accounts from different regions together is probably kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Can see them potentially doing stuff like making you be able to use more than one account on one system like they should have done. And, things like that.
They need that on the 3DS bad.
Mm. Yeah, and they need to make it region-free pretty bad, too. So, but we'll see.
We already talked about the new 3DS XL not coming with an AC adapter. So do people think that the new 3DS will come out at a later time in America?
Operation Rainfall.
You know, it depends on how soon the next portable system is.
Mm-hmm. I don't
think if we're in a DSi 3DS situation, with this new 3DS and whatever, the Nintendo Donut.
Which I think we are.
Yeah, I think we are.
The closest parallel. I mean, the obvious parallel.
I think they'll skip it entirely.
The faceplates are the coolest things. Like, I don't know how they can... If that's the case, like, they should have made faceplates accessible on the XL or something. It's just such a wasted opportunity.
There's got to be huge profit potential for that, too. It's like your pieces of plastic. Like,
they're, instead of, like, because people... your
shelf
average
space, but I think that even if shelf space was the problem, I think, you know, you could just still sell the unit and sell the things
on Amazon, dude. Like, even like me, who buys like more than one, you know, limited system every now and then. Like, maybe in my life I'm going to buy 3 or 4. But if you have faceplates available and you have custom versions for games, people are going to just buy them every single time.
To think about how crazy people are going over these amiibos, like the fact that there could be like these rare faceplates, people would go fucking ape shit for that.
They should make faceplates that act as amiibos. They have like the card tech built in.
Yeah,
I really want to know what the real reason was for the decision. People asked Nintendo. I got a total non-answer from them.
Maybe they just got so much shit with amiibos and everything else that they don't have, like, you know, either like manufacturing or like PR, or like there's like probably some division that's like so buried. They're like, don't do this to me, God, you know.
But they would not do Europe first, right, before America, probably, on that stuff. Or they are
doing Europe though.
No, I know.
Oh,
but I'm saying, like, they would delay. Wouldn't they delay Europe? Like, I don't know. It's just
Europe. If you're living in Europe and you're a Nintendo fan, like, you're probably pretty stoked. They've been pretty awesome the last 5 years. Like, they're doing a lot of stuff like that, you know, either takes NOA a long time or just doesn't happen in America.
I was surprised to learn when we looked up the Club Nintendo stuff that Europe, I think it Club Nintendo launched in Europe a little bit before it launched in Japan.
Yeah, I think we saw,
according to the Wikipedia, at least.
I think the reason is that, like, the Seattle Seahawks wouldn't let them make a faceplate, and they were just like,
not talk about Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
But speaking of Seattle, they had a little Windows doohickey up there the other day, and they made some game announcements there. And
what were you excited? Honestly, what were you genuinely excited about, Mark?
What was I genuinely excited about?
Yes.
Why did I stay up until 5 o'clock in the morning, which I didn't do, for this announcement? I thought the HoloLens thing,
the AR thing,
which, so
sounds interesting.
As listeners of this podcast, we've like speculated openly, like, what would be a futuristic, like, different thing that would be on like a Wii level. Not that I'm saying that this is that, but this is one of the things we talked about, right? Was like holograms or some kind of weird new thing. Like, what would it be if it's not VR?
Right, right.
You know, there seem to be like a few compelling things in the video, and especially the articles written talking about this thing. Especially now that they own Minecraft and they put that in there.
Like, it seems like less than a games device, though. It does seem more like a lifestyle / education sort of thing.
Well, yeah, and right now they want to show it, you know, it's doing everything in the kitchen sink, you know, like, your mom's using it, your grandma's using it, your kids are using it, blah, blah, blah. But then when it comes time to come down to a packaged product and whatever, they'll have to aim for the early adopters first, right? It will get more nerdy really fast. but, you know, they did show Minecraft in their demo video. Right.
One of the impressions I saw, like, one of the big things that people kept talking about was, like, they blew a hole in their wall with the TNT from Minecraft, and then there was, like, a window to, like, a Minecraft world on the other side, and they thought it was really cool.
Right. Which does sound really cool. Yeah. And some of the people who weren't even really necessarily into Minecraft were playing it, and, you know, it makes a compelling case for, like, these are like real world, they're like Legos now, they really are like Legos, and like that thing will sell to millions, literally millions of people immediately just on that idea. But, you know, there are other cool applications for it. It looks fucking goofy as hell.
Yes.
I don't know about people walking around offices wearing it and doing that kind of thing on it.
It's too big right now, but in 10 years, it's like this fucking. Yeah. It's like the second VR glasses.
It looks bigger than like the Oculus.
I thought they said it's smaller than the Oculus.
It is.
It is. And it looks better.
Less bulky
but it's
still... than that.
But we never complained about the Oculus being too big.
I think the difference is that
we talked about the Oculus looking. Well, you look like an idiot. Wearing
that's true
all the time. But when it looks like the
glasses,
that's
not like a deal breaker though.
That you guys are wearing right now. it is a deal breaker for some of the things that they. I mean, they have fucking people wearing that thing.
Like, right, right.
Walking
around.
You're
going to see a lot of people getting hit by cars playing. Right. Stupid
thing. Yeah, exactly. Bumping into a lot of walls, I think.
And did you notice that when they were like Skyping, the person that you're talking to wasn't wearing the glasses? They were like on a computer.
Oh, that's a good point.
So like they had the glasses on, they were walking around and talking, and then right. the person in the image was like sitting on a computer.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like. How would you present your own image? That's if true. You're both wearing the glasses
because the cameras are outward facing, and obviously
it's like, showing your 3D avatar,
you're just showing your eyes.
JJ, polygon man.
JJ is going to appear as a very sexy squirrel. yes, avatar of choice. So he doesn't need to worry about that.
And that's Lover 666.
Either way,
it's exciting. It's I guess on one hand, it's kind of nice that they're doing different stuff than everyone else. Like they're trying to do like a different approach to this. But on the other hand, I have 0.000% faith in anything Microsoft does these days. So, like, I don't really believe it's going to turn into anything cool or interesting. But I kind of hope it does.
I am actually very excited about this. I think
the potential for it.
I think like I was thinking about this morning. But like, when you think about the Rift, you think about like all these technologies that are being built around the Rift. You think about this AR thing. Like, these are technologies that are emerging right now. Like right. Now, and in 10 years, when Haruki is like 15, whatever, when he's 25, when he's our age,
right,
taking his
hoverboard
to school,
shit's gonna be ridiculous.
I was thinking that same thing. I was like, I kind of want to be born again,
right?
Now.
we're on
this
the cusp.
It's gonna be awful for a really long
time. Don't worry, I'll bring it to the retirement home for you guys. Yes. Like, look, you guys,
we're living like on the cusp of this.
Yeah.
Incredible, like, technological revolution.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And it could happen in, like, the next 10 to 15 years while we're still alive. And we're seeing, like, the little glimmer of that right now.
Yeah, this is, like, the big fucking ugly phone, like, the ring, ring, like that.
This is the Zach Morris phone of our time.
I don't even get that reference, but I'm just going to take your word for that. That's a shitty old
Somebody knows what I'm talking about here, right? Zach Morris, the brick phone? Oh, my God.
Is that Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
Of course you wouldn't know it, Sam. You're too young.
Roy, at least. Saved by the Bell, but it's going over my head.
You missed that episode.
Anyway. check those videos out. Read impressions, because the videos, like, the impressions of the people, and they're always, like, those people from Wired are pretty breathless about any kind of new technology, but
were they pretty stoked about it?
They're like,
I mean, it's cool. It sounds exciting. We'll see.
Windows 10 had some interesting stuff.
I want to try it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so back directly to video games. One kind of interesting thing I thought about this that came out in that story that I actually wrote down, though. So the guy, this is the Kinect guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy whose idea this was. And it's like, Kinect, you know, they pitch it like, oh yeah, Kinect was this huge success story and whatever. It's like,
yeah, best selling like whatever peripheral of ever, they said, or something.
It and was the like, fastest selling like game, fastest selling consumer gaming device.
You know
of
what
all
that
time,
means? That means as much as, remember the Dreamcast was like the number one day in entertainment history or some shit. Look where that happened. That doesn't mean shit.
But the Kinect, like the crazy thing about the Kinect is how it still astounds me what a fucking hula hoop like the Kinect was. Like how astoundingly popular it was. How much it sold, how fast, and how pretty immediately everyone is like, it's just not a lot of fun. Like, you know, and like people were kind of saying that even as they were still bringing out games. And it was like, no, these are the new games that are going to really use the Kinect in the way it needs to be played now. And there is some cool stuff to the Kinect. I mean, there is some like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then when it comes time to like come home and actually sit down and play it and not just like watch a YouTube video of somebody like hacking some weird Kinect thing.
Kinect is like this generation's like Power Glove or U-Force. Remember those things? They were like, everybody had to buy one.
What's a power glove? I've never heard of that
before. Do you know what a U-Force is? Or U-Force?
Yes,
okay. Anybody who bought one, got home, and like played it for an hour and then never touched it again because it was garbage. It's like, that's what the Kinect is. Like, it's all it is.
But the Power Glove and U-Force did not sell like the fastest. I mean, did not sell like 10 million in a weekend or whatever.
Because you had to have Kinect one. Like, you needed it for certain things.
Well, in Xbox One, they made it part of the system, which is, you know.
But the 360 is when it sold its big numbers. And how just amazingly
fooled a lot of people.
Fast it went from, like, you know, this golden child to like pariah.
Yeah, everybody thought it was going to be the Wii thing again, except smart people.
Anchor
and,
on,
you know.
Well, no, I mean, like even the first unveiling of the Kinect when they did like, hey, ever want to see what an avatar's shoe looks like or whatever?
Right. Bam.
That was basically when everybody was like, oh, I don't know about this.
Like, is this really going to work? But then they spent $500 million marketing it, and it sold a shitload.
Yeah.
And then somehow In 4 years, it went from amazing thing to like, this is a stone on the foot of the Xbox One, and we have to cut it off. Like, yeah. Like, I don't know. Astounds me.
But yeah, I think maybe like in the future, having the Kinect in tandem with this thing may actually be pretty cool.
But do you need the Kinect when you have this thing?
You better not. I hope not. I don't want that big bulky piece of shit in my living room.
Yeah. So anyway, JJ, you were starting to mention there's like streaming now. You can stream.
Yeah, you can stream. Yeah.
Windows 10.
No. You stream from your Xbox to Windows 10. They're working on Windows 10 to your Xbox.
You can stream on your Xbox to Windows 10, so a tablet or a PC.
Yes.
And they're working on
streaming from Windows 10. Yeah, for the tablets, that makes a lot of sense. For your PC, it's like, why would I stream from grounded device to another?
Because
TV.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's using the TV. I don't want to play video games.
That must happen in some families' homes, I guess.
It happens in my house.
Really?
Yeah. Well, with kids, I think it becomes like the Wii, much bigger
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the Wii U has been a savior for me. Like, right. Unless I want to watch fucking Mario
parents,
all the time.
I saw a lot of seen and heard a lot of parents
and
talking
like,
about
for me,
that makes sense.
You know, having the ability to play AAA games on my computer via a console or whatever, that would be really great, I think, because not everything comes out on PC. And
You're never going to use it in your entire life once.
Well, if it came out on PS4, I might. Right. And if I had an Xbox One, I would totally use it. That's no bullshit.
Right now, it's only over Wi-Fi on a local network, so no, it's not like the full Vita thing yet.
But that's good enough for me.
Maybe it will be.
I think it's a really good feature.
And like we said, they're really looking at streaming from the PC to the Xbox One, which seems to me like less of a reason for that to even
happen. Like games for Windows or something? Didn't that go away? If you could do like that with Steam, maybe that would be interesting. But
The use case for that? I feel like there's way less use cases for that.
Well, there's a lot of indie
really
games.
No. I think that makes more sense. Like if you have a PC and you're like me, who doesn't want to sit in front of a PC and play games, but I will sit in my living room. Like, it makes sense if I can beam my shit from my PC to my,
But you can
like,
do that now. Why don't you just do that now? Just
you mean hook your PC up to your TV? That's not as, I mean, that's doable, but it's not entirely convenient. I mean, it's not like, I already have no space on my TV for my consoles as it is, but...
The Xbox One, surprise to nobody, price dropped.
It's on sale.
Why did it go back up?
To $349 because
that was a sale.
What were they thinking?
It makes no sense at all. They're idiots.
It was a sale, and
they're
then it
fucking
went
idiots.
Back to normal, and now it's back on sale.
Whatever.
Because they're idiots. It makes no sense at all. Why would you? Yeah, it makes no sense. Why would you have it go back up and then back down? Unless like there's just shit is on fire and monkeys are jumping around, and like no one knows what the fuck they're doing over there.
Right.
We talked about the Polygon cover story a lot.
Yay.
Check that out.
It's cool.
Tons of good stuff. I have the names of all the artists and things that did stuff. Ninja Gaiden, Scalebound. There's some stuff with Kami on there. Ben Judd, Ueda, Dylan Cuthbert has a thing. Yu Suzuki. They visit Famitsu. Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Clock Tower spiritual successors. The PC version is going to be coming to Kickstarter, which is kind of weird, but whatever.
Okay.
Maybe you guys are excited about this. Massive Dark Souls 2 patch introduces the Scholar of the First Sin February 5th.
PS4 version, right?
That will be in time.
When is the PS4 version out? Is that when at the same time?
PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and Windows PC.
Ah. Well... I'll be waiting for the PS4 version.
Yeah. Well, doesn't it come out like a few days after Bloodborne?
I don't know.
This is February 5th.
Yeah.
So
I guess it doesn't anymore.
Bloodborne is March 26th or something.
It used to be.
Remix and modify a massive amount of content in the game, all while paving the way for the game's upgraded re-release in April.
Mm. Oh, there you go.
That's what it was.
Tweaking effectiveness of items like the Rusted Coin and spells like Imitation and Hush, drop rate of Awstones. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
Maybe that's Awstones.
I think it's supposed to say
shortened load times on PlayStation 3. That's kind of interesting.
Because they were really bad.
all players get a new ring as well.
Yay.
Very exciting.
Ring, ring.
And I think that's about it. Are we forgetting anything? Anybody have anything that they really want to have the Awesome Games Done Quick thing wrapped up? They made a ton of money.
That was really great.
That was awesome.
Shout out to Buck, our former intern. Freaking awesome treats.
Good old, Charlo.
We're still getting fat on.
JJ's been enjoying those pizza goldfish.
Thank you. I'm going to be on the next Back in My Play talking about Panzer Dragoon.
Okay.
Nice.
So check that out, please.
Check that out.
Did that happen already? Or
no, I'm recording it tomorrow.
Nice.
Or Saturday, rather.
Shout outs also to the guys at the Escapist and Game Trailers. I guess they let more people go today.
Oh, wow. Bummer.
I didn't see that. It's a bummer, but, you know, a lot of people have wound up with even bigger and better things. So, sure. Puyo Puyo Tetris, too. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but, like, Giant Bomb did something on it, and it's kind of blown up, and now it's hard to even find it at import shops and stuff like
really?
That.
Really?
Apparently it's really good.
Really?
We talked about it a long time ago, but then it came out just last...
And apparently it can't, I guess because Ubisoft has a license or something, they can't bring it out in the U.S. or something.
Oh, the Tetris thing? Ugh.
Yeah. I don't know. I could be wrong. Again, I'm just blowing... smoke out of my ass, but I mean, if that's the truth, that's kind of sad. Yeah.
And Resident Evil Remake, we didn't really talk about that. It's out now. The impressions I've been seeing from people pretty much line up with stuff that when we talked about the Japanese version coming out, just in terms of sometimes it looks amazing, sometimes it kind of looks like shit, but it is a freaking awesome game. So it's been cool to see people, a lot of people playing that for the first time. The controls also kind of like screw things up if you use the new controls. A lot of people
Patrick
Klebeck
was saying that the new controls are the way to play it.
Yeah,
I really
he was like nine when that game came.
I got words. I got words for him without having played it myself. I just saw some videos and I'm like, yeah, this is fucking broken. Like it looks totally broken with the new controls, but. Yeah. No, it's not to say like the old controls, if you hadn't like played the shit out of that game already, are going to be the most welcoming thing in the world. So
I've played that. I might not be the best
impartial judge. But anyway, until next time, who wants to say where people can find us?
You can find us at our website, 8-4.jp. We also have a second home at giantbomb.com. You can find our thread on NeoGAF. We have a Facebook. Search for 8-4. And our Twitter is at 8-4play. My personal one is at SPRSK.
At Mark McD.
At Sarapods.
At JohnTV.
At Hiroko84.
At Kotowari.
And is there anything that would give us 5 stars on iTunes?
Yes.
We should check our iTunes. Has anybody looked at the iTunes reviews in the last year?
No.
New Year's resolution. We'll check them once.
Until next time then, thanks again for listening. And John, why don't you pull up the final thing on your phone that you constantly look at while we're recording?
I was actually looking up our iTunes reviews.
Can you read one?
Is that what you were doing during the entire rest of the podcast?
No, I was communicating with people that I'm going to be meeting
not
in 5
cool.
minutes.
Yeah. Well, not cool. Well, you get the ending, so take it away.
Berserker85 says, while the podcast is definitely an interesting and entertaining look into the word of Japan games and Japanese games, I have to warn anyone who listens on headphones. While it had gone away for a while, the main host has now started doing a tongue-sucking noise every time he opens his mouth. It's not that obvious if you are just listening on external speakers with the volume low, but if you are listening on headphones, it gets quite evident and can get kind of annoying. I want to point out that he spelled tongue, T-O-U-N-G-E. Also, they are not shy about chewing and slurping drinks directly into the microphone. Other than these slight audio issues, the show is great, and I highly recommend it.
All true.
If you dig enough, you'll see their power on. wondrous and thunderous creatures to free. Hit the road and Nivasaur, it's your moment to shine. Bring the past alive if you've got the drive. Buckle up and race to the fossil frontier. Pedal to the floor, let the engine roar. Put it into primal instinctual gear. Delve into the ground, discoveries abound. Hammer drill thrills by the millions await. Look into your heart, powers off the charts. Dust away the past and grab a clean slate. Now's your chance, the future's your own. Don't let the present imprison your dreams. Make your life in the wild unknown. Go and be free. Adventure's right around the bend. And the world's got wonders to spare. Prehistoric lord and restorative friend. So get out there, go if you dare. If you dig enough, you'll see. There is power all that time. Wondrous and thunderous creatures to free. Hit the road and Vivasaur, it's